B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon on this Monday, a lovely Monday for once. The first nice Monday it feels like in a long time. I mean, it's hot, but it's not super hot. It's not super humid. Tyrell Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on vacation here on 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyler Zuli in my normal spot and doing updates today. Going to do a fantastic job. We're going to have a lot of fun today. 610-632-0975. And we start with the word of the day. And the word of the day is modified because we have action, folks. We have action. The Flyers did some things. Left some people protected and unprotected. Made a trade for a top-flight defenseman. They modified that team a little bit. And the Phillies, of course, take care of business over the weekend. 3-4, despite the fact that they ended up getting their best pitching performances of the four were from the two guys they didn't expect. And they didn't great pitching from the two guys you kind of would expect against them on the team. But it all works out in a wash. JT with the finishing the game on Sunday with the walk-off, followed by another win, and the offense is starting to come around. They only scored the two runs in the one game in the nine innings. But the offense is starting to come along, it looks like. Hopefully Bryce Harper can stay hydrated, and this team can now add and modify this roster. So it's a lot to get to today. And I'm also going to ask people today, before we break everything down into more details, about some modifications you would like to make in sports. And we're also going to do something because I was out and about this weekend. I was at the Phillies game. I was at the Union game. I stopped by the Sons of Ben tailgate. That was incredible. All the fans were very gracious. It was great to see everybody. The game itself was a lot of fun. So the Union won. Outside of the weather and how hot it was, and then the torrential rain and the lightning and all that stuff. But I think the Union caused a lot of that by being so electric. But we're going to do a bit of a survey today. We're going to do a fan survey. Tyler, this is the first you're hearing about this. All right, so we're going to talk about the modifications that the Flyers did. We're going to talk about what modifications with the team we want the Phillies to do. We're going to find out next week with the Eagles what their modifications look like, because we'll finally see that new-look team. And, of course, the draft is coming up in the NBA, and I'm going to attempt to not talk about you-know-who. But I'm going to do some things today in the poll, because what I hear from a lot of people when I'm out and about is they want to tell us what we should and shouldn't talk about and what is good and what is not. So while I'm going to give tons of opinions today, everybody that calls in today, in addition to the chance of winning the FanFest tickets, is going to get a survey question off the top that they will have to answer, and we will log this data. So right off the top, before I dig into everything else, Tyler, I'm going to ask you right now, in the city of Philadelphia, regardless of teams, who is your favorite athlete in the city right now?
Regardless of teams, favorite athlete in the city
right now?
Joel Embiid.
Okay. Paul's right there. Fine. So that might be an obvious one that goes down. I'm going to ask people about venues, foods, all kinds of things, teams, and we're going to see if, and I'm going to take all this data, give it to Mike. Mike Show, give him all the data, and then we'll see if we have it right, or perhaps the people are right, where sometimes we need to modify how we look at things. We're always looking to get better. I know, Tyler, you're always trying to get better. You're doing your weekend show. You will do whatever the people want you to do. You're a man of the people. We will do whatever the people want. So if we got it wrong, as people say that we do, and we need to modify, well, by all means, Today will be a day in which we will have an open forum and allow for people to tell us how we need to modify. And we're also going to define something. So you're a baseball man, correct? And the Phillies just had a great weekend. And
it was a good weekend.
Obviously, 610-632-0975. If you're excited, I'm excited. I think they need to make a trade. We're about 10 days away from them having to make a trade because they have to do something. July is flying by. So quality start. For the people out there, I know most of you do, but let's say you don't. Tell everybody what a quality start is in baseball because you're a baseball man, Tyler.
So a quality start in baseball is considered 6 innings or more pitched and three earned runs or less allowed.
Okay. I think we have to come up with something that is called an ace start.
Okay.
An ace start. Now, my threshold, in my opinion, for an ace start. Now, that doesn't mean... Now, I believe that if you look at ace pitchers over the season, they'll have the majority of these ace starts. But I think as a quality start is 6-3, I think an ace start should be 7 innings and 2 earned runs or less. Do you think that's too high of a threshold?
Not for an ace.
An ace. So I think if you look at ace start, because as I said yesterday, in real time, you see, when you're watching the game and you're there, you ride the wave with the Phillies. Entering the day was worried, like, it's going to extra innings. Are they only going to go 2-2 or even 1-3 against the Marlins because they have played so poorly against the Marlins up until that point? JT Realmuto takes care of business. Boom, walk-off home run. So now they at least would secure 2-2 because they split Friday. They finished Saturday's game on Sunday. And then Wheeler's on the mound. The Phillies had just taken a 2-0 lead. And the next half inning, Wheeler gave up 4 runs. And one of them, and it was no more the soft contact, he was getting hit around a little bit.
Yeah, a couple line drives back up the middle.
Home run.
Yep.
These were hard hit. This wasn't the situation where it was just, he was getting rocked in that inning. That was not the shutdown inning that I like from an ace after my team gets a lead. I'm big on when the team gets a lead, the pitcher shuts it down and gives those guys a chance to tack on right away. That's how I look at it when I'm talking about my ace guys. And if we're being realistic, he is the ace of this staff. He's better than Nolan.
Correct.
He just is. You would have thought I said, by saying that giving up 4 runs, you would have thought I said that Wheeler was garbage. All I said was that inning was not an ace inning. And then I found out some of the people were like children. Like they were like, they weren't like fully formed adults to understand. So, Tyler, you're much more reasonable than me. Would you consider the 6 innings, 4 runs, not if he's an ace or not, would you consider that one start in a vacuum an ace start?
No. And the thing is, too, I understand, right? You take innings, what, 4, 5, and 6. Comes back.
4 set, in a particular was set, just dominant.
Settles in. It was dominant in 4, like you said.
Yep.
In totality, I'm happy with the way that he settled down. But no, when you look at those numbers, statistically speaking, no, it's not even close to an ace start.
So with the word of the week at Modify, so in addition to the Phillies and everything else, I want to talk about perhaps we have it wrong. When we look at our top guys and we hear this noise about how tough it is to play in Philadelphia, maybe we need to start having some definitions on what's fair to expect and what's unfair to expect from our athletes, and I'll let the people decide. So I think that was a fine start for any guy. Like, Velasquez is capable of doing 6 innings, 4 runs, and we wouldn't say, great job, Vince. So we also just shouldn't say great job. I'm going to say, hey, next time I'm sure Willie will be better. That's how I look at it. I don't look at it like, but you would have thought that was. So is it unfair to think of an ace as a guy who more often than not can hit that 7 innings, 2 runs, because that ERA is the one in the twos. 6 innings, 4, that's like a 6 ERA, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, six innings, 4 runs is, in fact, a 6 ERA. So.
That's not special.
No.
That's not special at all. So I'm trying to have an open mind about things because I've been told that I'm crazy and wrong, and maybe you're right. So I'm going to allow for people to tell me, and we're going to make some modifications, and we're going to do the fan survey today. 610-632-0975. And the Phillies. I'm excited about the Phillies. There's obviously some landmines due to COVID and different things, but the Mets can't get out of their own way. It was impressive that the Mets came back from 6-0 to win that game, and disappointing. The Phillies could have been within 1, but 3 or 4, they've now won 3 straight series for the first time in a while. They're going up to the Yankees. Nola's going to be available to pitch. This is a real opportunity. I am very excited about the Phillies with a couple of caveats. And I want to find out if this one is fair. You had the doubleheader on Friday. Seven innings they play, so they're only playing seven innings. Bryce Harper had the whole All-Star break. And he missed the second game due to dehydration. Okay. Is it fair? I'm just wondering. Is it fair to expect my best and highest paid player to be available for 14 innings that everybody's playing in, by the way, and the entire Marlins squad in that second game all played except for the catcher? And the training staff have him have his nutrition and hydration together to where he can make it through 14 innings. Is that unfair to ask?
No, it's not unfair, but, you know.
I believe he was dehydrated. Right, I'm not saying he's faking. I'm saying, wouldn't you do things ahead of time because the forecast says it's going to be hot?
Sure.
To make sure he is good is my point.
Sure, of course.
Before he gets the, not saying that he wasn't dehydrated. He was dehydrated. He's not faking it.
Yeah, so like, that's the thing. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened.
He clearly had dehydration.
Right.
I'm saying, shouldn't someone get ahead of it so that he doesn't have dehydration?
I mean, probably, yeah.
Because there's going to be more hot games.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, doubleheader. It's a long day.
But it was seven.
Still 14 innings is a lot of, you know, it's a lot of baseball to play.
He didn't do 14 innings.
No, that's what I'm saying is you with 14 innings, you do, especially with
off of a break,
with nutritionists and,
off
and
a break.
You should be available for both, you know, like heading into the game, right? You should prepare for it.
That's what I mean. I believe, I'm not saying he was faking.
No.
I'm not saying he was faking. He was dehydrated. He wouldn't miss just to miss. So what we're doing is I'm trying to look at obviously the obvious sports things. We will talk to Taron Hatcher at 3:30 about the Flyers moves. The Flyers look like they're a team that recognized that they needed to modify and they made a move. And I'm very interested in why certain guys were protected and why certain guys weren't. And Flyers fans have been pretty quiet since the end of the season, understandably. But JVR, for example, that was a surprise for a lot of people.
He's actually the only one that I'm surprised, with the list that they put out, he's the only one I'm surprised was not protected.
Yeah, so right, that was the one. Once they made the trade, Voracek, I'm very interested what happens in this draft now, and I'm interested now if the Flyers clearly addressed the top issue with getting Ellis, right? That's the top issue, but they're not perfect still. So I'm very interested in that. And then obviously the Phillies. So, and we're going to talk to Matt Breen at 4 o'clock. So 610-632-0975. Word day is modify. We're going to look at the sports things, and then I'm going to do the survey, and we're going to just look at the mentality. And I am saying that perhaps I am wrong. I just need someone to explain to me why I'm wrong. And I want to make a new standard. No more quality start. I now want something called the ace start, and we can start measuring that because that's what I expect from my ace pitchers. And if that's unfair, well, then it's unfair. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli, 610-632-0975. Word of the day is modify, because we're all making modifications. The Flyers made some. They're going to have to make some more, at least one more. The Phillies are looking to do so. We'll see about the Eagles very soon. The 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line, Conklin, attention HVAC contractors for equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauk in my hometown, or Westchester today. And now it's time to open the Twitter poll, and I'm interested in what Tyler has going. And that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment with this weather? the grass is growing faster and faster, like a jungle. You got to have good equipment. Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with Safe Contactless Pickup in Doylestown. Tyler.
Thanks, Tyrone. The question today is, if the Phillies are going to win the NL East, which of these do you have more confidence in happening in the second half of the season? Your options are the Phillies play well or the Mets struggle so far. Early returns, 55% of the votes say that the Phillies will play well. 45% say the Mets will struggle.
And that's close. And I think that's realistic. Three series in a row. For me, my fear with the Phillies, in addition to the play part, is going to be the availability issue. Because the what just happened with the COVID thing could happen again. And that, again, I'm just saying, I just don't know who's going to be available enough. And that's my fear. The Mets have had a ton of injuries. I'm going to assume, although they keep getting more injuries, but in theory, they're going to get healthier, at least in theory. But they're also one of the seven teams that aren't at that threshold, so they may have availability issues.
The one thing that I will say with the Mets is, obviously, you talked about their injury concerns over the season. Carlos Carrasco is going to come back at some point. That gives them a boost in the starting rotation. They're not particularly healthy right now. I would think that if they do find a way to get close to 100% with their, you know, their starting lineup and their rotation, they'll be more formidable down the stretch than what the kind of the ineptitude you saw against the Pirates over the last two series.
Right. Now, Jordan and Joe, also, I should mention, NBC Sports Philadelphia, they have the Flyers Talk podcast. They addressed all of this. So anybody wants to go there, obviously you should go there and listen to that podcast breaking down all the protected, the unprotected, and obviously the Ryan Ellis trade. Now, I will admit, you know, because you work nights, there were more conflicts with the Sixers and the Flyers this year because both seasons were so compact.
So many
conflicts. So I was, just because of my Sixers outsiders, able to watch less Flyers. So I'm seeing guys, if I see a streaky guy, I thought JVR had a really good year, probably because the times where I was actually able to watch fully and not just DVR and half watch, he was scoring goals. Not realizing, as Joe was filling me in during the break, how streaky he's been. Because I'm not seeing the lulls, because that's when the Sixers are playing Washington and the Sixers are playing the Knicks and all that kind of stuff. So I'm interested in both. And I really do want to hear from Flyers fans, because I understand, I think they were beaten down and they've kind of hibernated. But now's a chance to open back up, because there's action. And they're a better team today than they were on Friday.
It's a good trade. And listen, I you know, you spend the number two overall pick on Nolan Patrick. It doesn't work out. But, I mean, quite honestly, from the production standpoint, you gave up a third-line center and a second or third pair defenseman for the biggest issue that you needed to address.
Right. And I still believe, if I'm reading the tea leaves, that there may be another big move.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe if they lose some salary, it makes it a little bit easier to make that big move.
And that's why I woke up yesterday after the trade happened, and the first thing that I tweeted out was, hey, at Seattle Kraken, can I interest you in an $8.25 million a year salary, you know, a contract? Because if it does, in fact, end up being Jake Voracek, that helps the Flyers substantially.
Now, speaking of that, because we're going to do the fan survey, about famous, I asked you who was your favorite athlete currently.
Yes.
I'm going to ask a caller later on. One of the questions will be their favorite Philadelphia athlete of all time. Well, the Kraken, for the expansion draft announced on Wednesday, they announced some of the people that are going to be reading the picks. Sue Bird, Marshawn Lynch, Lenny Wilkins, Jordan Morris, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Bobby Wagner. So they're going to have some Seattle luminaries. That's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I'm going to find out today about who people in Philadelphia think should be the top guys. We're going to do a lot of stuff today. Brian on the cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Ty? How you doing?
What's up, Brian?
No, man, thanks for taking my call. I love your show, man. You're really awesome.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the Phillies, and I'm really interested in Chris Bryant. I think, if we can get him and sign him for a four-year deal, I think that would really help our team. I mean, I know he's friends with Bryce Harper. And I also want to touch base on Alex Bohm. I mean, what do you feel like about Alex Bohm? Because I feel like Torres is playing a really good third, and he's got the glove and he's hitting. And I just don't see Alex Bohm as really being what we thought he was going to be.
Well, so far he hasn't been, because he's become just a slap hitter. I mean, he doesn't hit for power at a premium position. Yeah. And we know his defense is just okay. I mean, I think his future is first.
Yeah, that's giving him more than probably, I would say.
Yeah, now, the question is, one, let's hope he recovers from COVID as quickly as possible. You don't know. It hits people different. Some athletes come back completely fine. Others, right. like Curry, who's a conditioned athlete for the Sixers, it took him months to get it back together.
Yeah,
a bunch of Flyers didn't get it back together. So, number one, let's hope that about his health. That's more important than anything else with him. Second of all, I'm willing to include him in a Bryant trade. I don't know what else they could really do. Like Jason Stark said, it's probably not realistic. There's going to be a bidding war. I'm trying to think of, because the Phillies have money, could they fight their way in because other teams may not want to pay that full salary? I would be willing to include Bohm in the trade, though, because that's why I know where he's going to play a lot. He's going to play third base. And if he's not long term, I'll deal with it later. But of course, yeah. I've talked about it off the air 100 times, haven't I, Tyler? He's my favorite player that's available, but I don't know if it's realistic.
The fact that he can play third, first, and outfield, I mean, third and first are the two spots on our team where really we have no defense. And, I mean, Hoskins provides power, but, I mean, he's either a strikeout or a home run. You know, he gets into his 0 for 50 streaks, and, you know, you're done.
All right, now let me ask you one of these poll questions real fast before your time runs out. All right, I asked Tyler, the favorite athlete. I'm going to ask you, right now in the city, who is your least favorite athlete among all the teams? Your least favorite athlete?
Right now I would say Ben Simmons. He drives me nuts.
All right.
I mean, I just can't. The fact that he doesn't hit a jump shot is just boggles my mind. I can't understand it.
All right, I appreciate it, Brian. Just different questions. There's no right or wrong answers with those. I'm just trying to get the pulse of the people. Obviously some people will get the same question twice once we get through all the questions. So favorite right now went to Tyler. He says Joel Embiid, Sixers player. Least favorite so far in the first person there, also a Sixers player, showed the dichotomy that was their season. And also, speaking of modifications, Carson Wentz finally came down off the link. So now the talk becomes who to put up. Don't put up an active player. Put up an alumni player.
It's got to be a great, right? Like an all-time great.
A Dawkins.
Dawkins was the first one that came to my mind.
You put up a great Westbrook. You put up, I'm saying, I know they have silhouettes of different. I haven't studied every single person because I only see one side of the building kind of ever, to be honest with you. Only see the 95 side and then right when you come in. So I never paid that much attention to it. But you have to, they're saying, oh, put Fletcher Cox. No. Just put an active player. Don't put an active player on me. Do not pick an active player. But that's another modification that finally happened after all these rumors. Steven Downingtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
I just want to know if you have any insight and plus your opinion on this talk about trading Fletcher Cox. And if you think it would be a package deal, Cox and Ertz together, possibly.
I haven't heard anything about that.
There's stuff on the internet, of course, about Fletcher. You know his age, different things about it. I definitely want him to keep him, but I'm just looking to see if you had the insight into this.
No, I haven't heard. I have not heard about anything real about him being traded. I haven't.
Yeah, and I'm sure it depends on what he looks like in training camp. Once his comes.
Well, I mean, it also depends how much do you think this team's actually going to stink.
Right.
I mean, if he's going to be a declining player, does it necessarily make sense to bring him back if you can get value for him now? And you always want to get rid of a player a year early. Like the Ertz issue was, they should have done this time last year. Instead, they waited, and now we're. Training camp's next week, and he's still here, and he's not coming to camp. So he misplayed that. So I'm not necessarily against it, but I haven't seen anything personally real from anybody that I trust saying that they're about to trade Fletcher Cox and that it's imminent. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Now, I'm starting to think that it's going to get to the point where they may have to cut or Ertz, because I think they're hoping that a tight end gets hurt. And I don't that may be – a top tight end may get hurt, but it might be a defensive lineman. It might be a different position. So that's where I'm at. Let me ask you a poll question here.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite place in the city, college or pro, to watch a game right now?
Favorite place in the city?
Yeah, like of all the arenas, both college, because there's some legendary, you know, there's kind of a legendary place where college at sports or pro. Yeah. What's the place you like to most go to watch a game?
For me, it would be the Palestra.
Okay, that is a fine answer. The Palestra's still ahead after all the years. I'm just wondering. These are just little things. For me, it has become Citizens Bank Park over the time. For me.
We are very lucky to have Citizens, because it's a beautiful stadium. That is, I mean, it's not old. It's what, 17 years now, I think?
Yeah.
But it's not brand new anymore.
Right.
But it still feels new.
Feels new. Feels, the sight lines, I think, are great. I thought they did a hell of a job with it, and it's held up.
And you know, you got what, however many thousand seat stadium, and there's probably about three sections in the entire stadium that are not a great view. Yeah. Everywhere you sit, you've got a good seat.
Got a good seat. You're right. And I've become a person who starts to gravitates to that first base side. But that's more like just habit of I'm comfortable there. I feel good and I can see and stuff like that. But because of COVID, they had to move our seats. And I sat down the right field line, the left field line, I should say. It was awesome. I hadn't sat there in years. It was awesome sitting down there, too.
I like I actually don't mind the aerial view, so I don't mind going up to the 300 and 400 level if I can sit behind home plate.
You see everything.
To see how everything kind of develops.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good spots. Yeah. Tate in Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Ty?
What's up, Tate?
I got a Phillies point, and I want your opinion on the violation.
Okay.
I saw you at the game yesterday. I was the one that had the incident with the cop.
Oh, yeah, that's tough, man.
Right, but my Phillies point is I actually was sitting there for the completion of the first game and the entire regular game, feeling though I knew we were going to win. So I'm like, is my overconfidence premature or what?
No. The bats looked good pretty much the whole game. The Marlins aren't very good. And I never thought, the only time they got a little shaky is when they get up 2-0. And then they give up the four only because they hadn't tacked on the game before, but they tacked on. They ended up with seven runs. That's plenty. The offense is back. And McCutchen is so important.
Right, right. I like to watch McCutchen hit and our second shortstop. I like to watch him hit. I mean, our second baseman. But
Segura gets Mike mentioned it before he went on vacation. He's barreling up balls better now than he has at any point as the Phillies. It seems like every time he's up, he's making really good contact every time.
He just so relaxed at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
My violation is, when I saw you, I had more to talk about, but I was like, it's a violation to wait for a grown man to come out the bathroom to finish the conversation. So I just walked away.
Well, no, it was all good. I literally ran in there because I had to go. Man, it's a lot of liquids. A lot of liquids when you're sitting outside. And I was like, man, I got to try to run in real quick and then get out. Let me ask you a poll question real fast. All right.
Okay.
What of all the teams, college, pro, all of them, including the union, all the teams, who's your single favorite team right now in Philadelphia sports?
I'd have to say the Sixers.
Sixers are your favorite team. So far, been very basketball centric because even the Palestra, mainly a basketball arena so far. Now, this could be because camp hasn't started with the Eagles. And I'm sure if I ask more people, the Eagles will end up winning. But I do know, I wonder, the Eagles are definitely the most popular team in the city always. They're not anybody's favorite right now, if that makes sense.
I mean, that's something that I talked about a little bit about last night was it almost seems as if the national perspective is greater than the local perspective. And I know there's like Negadelphia and all that, but you know, we'll always talk to people throughout the season. Eagles going to win the Super Bowl. Eagles going to win 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of people say that, but for the most part, it was like, you know, pretty tempered expectations.
Yeah. It's just weird. And we're getting close. Like next week they're hitting and it's going to be, and this is another thing that's going to be interesting with them. Cause I think they have to show up. They all have to be COVID tested. And then there's all these, it's just going to be another camp where, is it going to be more virtual or is it going to be more real? And I guess they won't know until all the players arrive and then they can be able to do the COVID test and find out who's vaccinated or not. Because then I guess they have to do virtual meetings versus being able to do in-person meetings. It's going to be a lot. We're not going to know how Eagles camp is going to even look like at all until they actually arrive.
Right. Which, and that could be a huge indicator, helpful or harmful, yeah, in terms of, you know, team chemistry, new coach, new coaching staff,
right,
new quarterback. It could be substantial for, you know, just team chemistry purposes.
Yeah, and this coach is younger than Doug Peterson, so I would imagine he'll do better in a virtual environment. Doug really struggled with it. Everybody said,
yeah,
Doug not being able to love on people played a big role in him struggling. I don't think Nick Sirianni needs to be face-to-face the way Doug did, but it can't be helpful if he can't be face-to-face with his guys.
No, I mean, you know, you look at, like, teachers had to do it, right, for right, a year. Even those who were tech-savvy, I've heard, man, this was such a struggle. It was such a long, right, very difficult year to get through. I got to imagine it's the same thing for them.
Has to be. Has to be. Ethan in Green Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone.
What's up, Ethan?
I just want to talk about the Phillies. Because I want to be excited about them, and I am
excited.
But at the same time, like, you see what happens with every other team in Philadelphia, and, like, you want to temper your expectations a little, but I'm excited. And I think that now, out of all years that we've been mediocre, is the time to buy. Because you look around the division, I mean, what's going on? Like, everyone is kind of on the same level. And I think the Phillies, out of all of them, have the best shot to stay healthy and, like, keep our guys together and move on. And I don't know if you heard, you know, the whole Starling Marte trade discussions. I would love to have a guy like him.
Of course. You just saw him. He's still a productive player, older. Probably a rental, because I don't think they're going to pay him beyond his
right,
year.
Right.
But they should absolutely be in the mix for him. Unless you really believe Jankowski is the guy in center, it kind of seems like a no-brainer. I want him out there instead of Herrera. I don't need Herrera to come back. I don't need to see Herrera anymore. But
I don't want to see Herrera come back, and honestly, I don't want to see Bohm either, because I feel like we've been playing better without him.
Yeah, but this is short term. Over the long haul,
I know.
And he's still, I think he can still be a productive player. First thing, let's just hope he gets healthy.
Right.
I want to add. I'm a person who's been excited, but what you can't do. Now, Ethan, how old a guy are you?
I'm 18.
All right, so you're a young guy, Ethan. Now, right, one thing you can't do is you can't allow what other things happen to temper your expectation. Because you're going to be out here dating as you get old. No, you're going to be out here dating. The one thing you don't ever want to do is bring your baggage from one relationship to the next one. So don't allow the Sixers failures or the Flyers failures this past year to affect your relationship with the Phillies. Every relationship should be its own relationship. Let me ask you a question, being that you're a younger guy.
Go ahead.
Of all the stadium foods that, of any game, what is your favorite stadium food right now?
My favorite stadium food,
of all the food,
I have to say, would be Chickies and Pete's fries.
Chickies fries. You can't go wrong.
Since I was little, I've gotten them.
Okay.
Never fails to be good. You know?
Appreciate it. All right, so these are the answers so far with some of the questions. Favorite, Embiid. Least favorite, Ben Simmons. Arena, Palestra. Team Sixers. Food, Chickies, fries. But you can't go wrong with those fries. So that's where we're at with that so far. 610-632-0975. The Phillies thing, it seems like people just can't latch on fully yet. And Joe does point out that the Eagles, maybe because people don't know the team, they can't latch on to them. Sixers are out of pocket right now. The Flyers are just now starting to have activity after a quiet offseason. Maybe it's just right now in sports, we don't feel we can really wrap our arms around any of these teams.
I think it's fair because, you know, like you said, the Eagles have question marks everywhere. And the Phillies, you know, like even for somebody like me, you know, that's my number one sport. I'm a baseball guy.
Right.
And I have found this season that I have enjoyed watching other games more than I have enjoyed watching the Phillies. They're playing better as of late, but, you know, things like the poor defensive play and bad managerial decisions and bullpen that has been bad at best makes me almost, because I have such an invested emotional, you know, investment in this team, I have found way more enjoyable to watch a random game on an afternoon that doesn't include the Phillies.
Huh. That's interesting. Do you agree with that out there? And then, all right, 610-632-0975. That is interesting. That is interesting thought about you're not having fun. Now, I will admit the team had not been fun, but for the last few weeks, they have become fun.
Much better, yes.
They become more fun for me. And then on the other side, I'm going to talk about some sports modifications that I would like to make. And Tyler has an interesting moral conundrum that we're going to talk about when it comes to going to a concert. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missinelli back in 3 minutes on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is modify. So far, people have not been talking about enough about how you want to modify the Phillies early. For me, you got to get a couple bullpen. I'm trying to think of what's realistic versus what I want. What I want is Chris Bryant. What's realistic is probably some bullpen arms, although the bullpen was pretty good this weekend for the most part. For the most part.
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't want to let that, right. You know, be that's an outlier.
Right.
I think with 24 blown saves, it has to be.
Has to be. So you fix the bullpen, you hope everybody stays healthy and available, and I think that's the best path, the most realistic path. The Cole Hamels thing, I don't know about. Now, they were there for the workout. Apparently, he looked good. Apparently, they said he's like a month away from being ready to pitch in the majors. I think he threw 60 pitches.
Yeah, they said he was averaging about 88 and topped out at 90. For a five at lefty, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, you have to figure at some point you're going to replace Moore and Velasquez.
Right.
So, I'd rather have Cole Hamels. Now, you have a concert conundrum.
I do.
Lay it out for us.
Okay, so obviously now with concerts coming back, there's mm-hmm. a ton of live music around.
All over, yep.
And there is a band that I've wanted to see for a while now that is going to be somewhat local. Not like 10 minutes, but I think it's like an hour drive.
Okay.
So it's not awful.
All right.
But local enough mm-hmm. that I would like to go see them. And my problem is, that day is bad for, like, all of my friends who listen to the same music that I do.
Right.
And obviously, because, you know the music that I listen to,
yes.
That list of friends is not very large.
Right.
It's only a couple of guys.
You didn't ask 20 people.
Right. I think I've asked, like, four.
Right.
And they were all unavailable for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Or are just not into that particular band.
Right.
So the question I had for you is it weird for me to go by myself to the concert?
Right.
Because
go ahead.
You know me, like, I don't have any trouble speaking to people. So mm-hmm. if anybody wants to have a conversation while we're there, it's not going to be weird because mm-hmm. I'll talk to anybody.
Right.
But is it weird for me to show up to a concert and then, like, stand there because it's general admission,
mm-hmm.
just, like, stand there by myself and, like, sing along with the music?
Now, for me, it would be weird for this reason. Now, everybody wants to weigh in on this life conundrum. I like these things. 610-632-0975. I enjoy these. Now, for what maybe people don't know, because you're not always on this show, you have a big event coming up in about 5 months.
Yes.
So you'll be getting married in 5 months.
Correct.
All right. In my opinion on this one, I think the future missus has to go with you. And I'll explain why.
Okay.
You guys are partners in life, all right, going forward. And she's your best friend. Now, you have your friends. I'm saying she is your best friend.
Yes.
You would be married.
Correct.
I know you have done things that you haven't wanted to do. Not that it killed you to do it. It's just that you would rather do X, but because of her, you did Y.
Sure.
And there's going to be millions more times in which you do that. I feel like being that you did ask other people, that the missus must go with you to this one concert, and it's probably a heavier band.
Correct.
Than she would like.
Yeah.
So put in your AirPods in the ears to dull it or do whatever. Come with you so that you don't go to the concert by yourself.
And here's the thing. If that were the case, right, if she does end up going with me, of course, I would drive. I would pay for the ticket. I would buy the beverages. Like, all of that would be my responsibility because she's just doing me a favor.
Right.
Is, you know, because of the fact that I listen to the heavier music, is that too extreme of an ask?
Nah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, there's things that, you know, she wants to do, but they're not out of this world requests.
Yes.
They're like apple picking on a college football Saturday.
That,
or,
to me, is out of this world. You're a sportsman.
Sure, but I'll.
You did it. You're a sportsman, and you did it anyway. For that alone. Also, your beautiful photos for your save the date. Beautiful. It was clearly
freezing.
You're not wearing a coat. And I don't think, it's just my hunch, is that wasn't your first choice of how you want. First of all, I don't even know if the save the dates with a photo would have been one of your choices at all. No. You might just sit down and save the date without, you could have some trees in the background or a winterscape or something like that.
Okay.
So to me, that alone, just those two things, the apple picking and the save the date, at least cancels out one 2-hour concert.
So I will say this. She has done this for me before to a different band at a different show.
All right.
So she did do me that big solid.
Yes.
Would be tasked to do it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that she kind of, she doesn't have to do anything. I kind of think she has to go with it.
Okay.
Because, like, if I'm trying to explain myself. Now, listen, no one should ever listen to me about anything, all right, when it comes to relationship. I can only speak for myself as being, it'll be 8 years in early September. That's all I can say. And we made it through. That's all I can say. Like, I don't know anything about anything. If the shoe was in my foot and I said, I asked this person, I asked my brother, I asked my people, and they all said no, it would kind of be a given. You're going to have to go to this one. Like, I think she kind of has to go for this one.
Okay.
For this one. Now, it's not every week. It's one.
No, it's one. And right.
It's after
one
a pandemic.
Show.
You haven't been able to see a band in a long time.
Right.
There's special circumstances where I think she has to go.
Okay.
Tyler in Boston, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
So don't hold me to that.
What's up?
Tyler, you're on the air.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What do you think about the Flyers trading for Tarasenko?
Is that realistic? Is that out there?
Yes, I have seen talks. They would trade, the Blues would, well, the Kraken would select Tarasenko from the Blues.
Okay.
And then the Flyers would, they would then trade Voracek and a draft pick for Tarasenko.
All right, now what about the salaries there? The reason I'm asking that is I don't have the player's salaries in front of me. It seems like, I don't know, that the Flyers, whatever moves they want to make, it seems like that they may want to cut. Yeah, he wants it would be a major, see, that was my concern. Joe Fordyce, who's producing the show on the TV side, says it would take major cap movement to make it happen. And that's the one thing about the Flyers. It seems like the Flyers are trying to first shed salary. So that's $9.5 million that they would have to take on. They want to shed salary before they take on a salary like that. So I think there would have to be another move from the Flyers because I think they want to get under their current cap situation to do more. At least that's what I'm hearing. But I'm not against it. If it's a good player, he wants out. It seems like it fits. But the money, I also think the NHL cap in some ways is the most complicated.
It really is. That is true.
I think it's become the most complicated of the cap. Because then if you put a guy on waivers and then he comes back and then his cap hits lower. And I think the rules with the cap have become so. But let me ask you about these moves that they have made. The Ryan Ellis trade, are you happy about that? Or are you happy about who they left unprotected?
I am happy about the Ellis. I'm happy Voracek and JVR are both left unprotected. I think we definitely need to get them guys out.
So, well, one of them.
At least one of them. I would say one of them.
All right. I appreciate it, Tyler. Interesting. I am glad just that we get some Flyers action back in. That's the first on the station, seems like Flyers call in a while about actually adding to the team, which is, this is the time of year. This is getting close.
Yeah. So, and I think with Tyler's proposal, when he was talking about with the Kraken and all of that, yeah, and the Blues, I would have to assume in that trade scenario, Voracek is involved in some capacity to kind of balance that $9 million
a little bit. But then why are the Kraken doing that?
Couldn't tell you.
I know why the Blues are doing it. A disgruntled player, get them off your books.
You're going to get a first-round pick because they're going to have to give up 13 to make that move.
Right, and I know why the Flyers would want to do it to get a better player. Why is the Flyers would probably have to add some form of a low-cost sweetener, I would think, to help them out. I don't know if it would be just a draft pick. Wouldn't they want a player that could play now?
You would think so. I mean, unless they're going full rebuild, which, I mean, the Blues are still talented even without Tarasenko.
Yeah, so, I don't know. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Word of the day is modify. Talking about the Flyers and what the Phillies need to do in the next 10 days. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah. 97.5 The Fanatic. There's a song and a video that you could not do now is playing on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missinelli. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Yeah, couldn't do that video now. Well, I'm telling you, at the time, That Big Pimpin' video was something at the time, but you couldn't do that. Now, that Tarasenko trade, apparently the details would be, hypothetically would be, Hague would be drafted by the Kraken, and then Tarasenko would get traded to the Flyers for a second round pick and Voracek.
Yes. So they would take Tarasenko from the Blues, obviously.
Mm-hmm. In the expansion
draft. Hague gets selected in the expansion draft.
Right.
And then that is the trade. So, I mean, that's...
I'd do that.
I would make that move.
I'd do that.
Absolutely.
That makes your team better. And then Hextall would be... You might wonder why. Hextall would be the key. Because then he would have both Voracek and Hague to instill his new system. Because he is the coach out there. Now, the fact that his system would be the same, though, would mean he likely... wouldn't win.
It is not going to succeed.
Not going to succeed.
Well, and you know what the thing is, too, with the expansion draft, I know there's some powerful names out there, like playing, you know, skill-wise, but the problem is, after Vegas was so successful, they're going to be like, hey, wait a second, we're going to tone this thing back a little bit. Yeah. You know, Seattle might be okay, but they're not going to be Vegas level successful.
Yeah, you mean they're not going to make the finals?
Yeah, probably not. I'm going to say probably not.
Not going to make the finals in year one. Yes. 610-632-0975. Word of the day, though, is modify. And I want to throw out my first sports modification of the day. Now, this one actually came from my wife, and I like it. Now, what we're looking for is, because we're trying to be realistic here, the Flyers probably can't make a full facelift because of the Giroux contract and stuff, so they're making modifications. The Phillies likely can't just blow up everything, and they're not going to. They can't add probably at the level that we want to add. They're going to make a modification. That's why modifies the word. So when I'm talking about sports modifications, I'm going to try to see if we can do something in sports radio that we rarely are able to do, and that's be subtle. So not a huge thing, just a modification. Now, this one comes from my wife, and it has to do with her as a viewer. You see, she looked at the Sixers games, and she's watching all the games now, all the time. And she thinks that in basketball, kind of like with football, you should be able to decline a foul. Not because they hack a bin or anything like that. It's about that's not fun to watch as a viewer. So to discourage that from happening, or if you get a bad foul shooter who's fouled, you can decline the foul. You take the ball on the side, but the player who committed the foul now does not have a foul count against them. So if Atlanta tried to do a hack a bin, like they did, the Sixers would decline the foul, so whoever fouled them does not get a foul. Sixers now inbounds the ball, and they come in because they can decline the foul. And late in the game, if you have a certain guy out that's out there and they want to foul him, you can decline the foul. We're not; it could be a shooting foul. You decline it, take it side out, and you just play it out. I like that rule because it's subtle, but number one reason, no one enjoys the end-of-game fouling. No one enjoys the hack a bin, regardless of whether or not it works or not. No one enjoys when a team's up 10 and the game has a flow and a back-and-forth flow, and let's stop and everybody walk to the line for three or four straight possessions leading up into the 2 minutes. I like it. That is the first sports modification that I would do.
Yeah, I'm in on that too. And I think that there's multiple different reasons as to why you would use it.
Yeah.
And I think that they could all work to your advantage. And as us as viewers, you know, sometimes those last 45 seconds take 15, 20 minutes to be played.
Right. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. One possession game, two possession game. Team's down 10. So now at the point where it's four possessions and they're still doing the late fouls. Like, I decline. We're just going. So what that does is that makes you adjust your strategy. And I like it. I think that's a modification in sports that would make all sports better.
Well, and you know what, too? Now that you're going to just decline the foul, it would make defenses press a little bit because now you have to get a steal the inbound pass.
Exactly.
Could make for some exciting play down the stretch.
I think it would make for better play down the stretch. Here's another one. Because I've been watching so much soccer, I like the way they do their subs where they just hold up the crowd. So you have the red is the player that's coming out and the green that's the player that's coming in. In baseball, do we still need the slow trot out to the mound, taking the ball, patting the guy on the butt, and pointing to the right? Like, do we still need that? Like, I'm not one of these people that says make the game seven innings. And no. But do we still need that? How about the umpire? Because they had the card. You put the number of the play of the pitcher coming out, and the number of the pitcher going in. And you just hold it up, and the guy just comes, and you just bring your butt in, and take out the walk. That would be quicker. That would be incrementally quicker every single baseball game.
All baseball wants to talk about anymore is expediting the game. Why not? That's going to take some time away, right, for sure.
Now, I'm not talking about a mound visit where you go and the pitcher's coach.
No.
I'm talking about just when it's time to do the sub. All right, here he comes, because it's the second one, and he walks out also. And then, because the TV shows that, I mean, not that they should, I'm saying they show that, then they show the guys start to come in, then they go to commercial. Instead, you hold it up, they go to break, by the time we come back, let's go. To me, that would be a modification. That doesn't change the rules of the game at all, but it's a subtle thing that I think would make baseball more viewable. And that's why I'm talking about modifications that could make sports better. And I've always thought that with soccer. And then I have one more. Oh, there's three. Why does clocks count down? Clocks should count up. Time doesn't go back. We only go forward. I feel like all sports clocks should count up, not down. Just like life.
I think the downward counting clock is to... It almost feels like it's a suspense builder, right?
But
like towards the end? I mean, probably not. But you know what it is, too, quite frankly? it's to make it easier for the viewer, right? Because let's say you're playing, you got a basketball game, 12 minutes, and you're counting upwards.
Yeah.
It is way easier to see 38 seconds left in the quarter than it is to see 11 minutes and 22 seconds have been played. Because then you're doing math.
But is that because you've always done it that way, or is that because it's actually better? Because never reason to continue to do things is just because you've always done it
that way.
It's
probably because we're lazy and don't want to do the math.
Well, but you get the spirit of it. I'm not saying, first of all, there's no wrong answers when you're brainstorming. But I'm just saying that there are some subtle modifications. Just like the Flyers, although getting a number one defenseman, probably a little bit more than just a subtle thing. That's big. But the team overall, they're not going to be able to move Giroux and change the face of the team. They're going to have to make modified. The Phillies, at the trade deadline, they're probably going to have to just make a modification. They're not doing a facelift of the team. And I want to know, in sports in general, subtle things that you think would make sports better. 610-632-0975, like being able to decline fouls, and just the end of the days of the slow walk out to the mound. I don't get it. Also, if the Fanatic can drive that four-wheeler all around the field, does the guy have to run in? Couldn't you drive him to the mound? Wouldn't that get him there quicker?
They did that for a long time. They had bullpen carts, right? They stopped doing it.
Why?
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea why.
The slow bop out to the mound. And when I'm sitting there, I'm always like, well, get there so you can start doing your warm-up pitches.
Well, and then the other alternative is like Jarrett Hughes and Heath Bell, who were just crazy and would like sprint to the mound. And then by the time they get there, they're out of breath.
Yeah.
Your first pitch is at, 6 inches above the catcher's head.
We've been aware of cars. We've been aware of golf carts and things. And the Fanatic drives one on the field every game. Yet, the guy with the slow walk from the outfield in, I don't get it.
You want to make it fun for the fans? Have the Fanatic drive them in, for all I care. You know what I mean?
I don't care.
Let's get the game. You want to talk about getting the game moving.
Right.
That 300-foot trot is, it's time-consuming.
And then they say, oh, well, it's still going to commercial. Yes, but then the warm-up pitches take a certain amount of time. I want to start the warm-up pitches quicker. I want to get to them quicker. And that doesn't make the game less exciting. It doesn't take away the shift. It's none of that stuff. This is just subtle things that baseball does just out of tradition that are just unnecessary. Just unnecessary. Rick in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick in New Jersey? And it's not working. That was weird. See if you can punch him up. Rick in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone. First time caller.
Oh, appreciate it, man.
Just I wanted to run over a couple little things with the Phillies and what your thoughts were. Would you think of a trade of Rhys Hoskins for Aguilar from the Marlins would be helpful for the Phillies?
First things first, though. No, anything you have to do with the Marlins, you got to think money.
Right.
You got to think
money.
Well, it
looks like those salaries are about
the same. No, no. When will Hoskins have to get paid? Because that's part of the reason why Marte's available. They don't want to pay him. So the Marlins, first off, are not going to take on any player they feel like they will soon have to pay big arbitration money or any kind of money. So that's step one. With anything related to the Marlins, their money first and foremost.
Right.
Because Jeter is a snake oil salesman, just like every other person that's ever owned a Marlin.
Yeah, you got that right. One other thing. Is this a violation?
Go ahead.
Is this a violation?
Mm-hmm.
I totally turned around about Gene Segura.
All right. Well, why is that? Why would that be a violation? He's playing well, isn't he?
He was a guy I didn't even want on a team to now I think he's a top three player on this team.
He is a top three player on this team. The question's going to be, it's late July now. Can he put it together? Because the knock on him, we know what the knocks are about the love of the game and the consistency in which he does not play with.
Right.
I think that there's a chance that he's been their best player.
And his attitude looks a lot better.
It does appear to be a lot better. So, no, If you want to give it more time, I can see that as well. But I think that it's he's played really well. He's been their best player.
The most consistent player for sure.
Yeah. And I'm big on that, on the consistency. The streaky guys are fine unless you can. I don't love streaky guys unless they can carry the team during that streak. Then it's like, well, if you're carrying the team, well, then we'll just tip the cap and thank you for the 3 weeks and then worry about everything else later.
Which is why, you know, and obviously he's actually had a really nice year. He's up into the 280s, but it's why anytime Bryce Harper is like, you could tell he's right there getting ready to go off, yeah. You know, on a 2 week tear. And, I have to allow him to do that because I know that 2 weeks from now he might go 0-for-12 with 8 strikeouts. But right. That 5 home run week is coming.
Right. Absolutely. Now, Joe has a modification for baseball. When a position player comes in to pitch, it's game over. No position player is pitching and making a mockery of the game. See, he says a forfeit, but it wouldn't be a forfeit. For me, it would be a concession.
Yep.
I would call it like you can concede. In the game. If you're behind, I agree. I'm done. And that now that one, I guess, for some people, for purists, would say, oh, the good thing about baseball is 27 outs and you can get your last out, you can score 90 runs and you can win 90-89. But in actuality, once the position player's in, you're conceding, you're saying, I don't want any of my pitchers to throw another pitch. So in order to save them, I'm going to let a guy who doesn't pitch ever to pitch. At that point, just wave the white flag, and it would be a ceremonial white flag that you would have to wave, call the game, and you move on.
Well, and, you know, obviously the novelty of, like, the position player pitching, everybody likes to, it's funny when Astudillo comes in and throws the 47-mile-an-hour blue pitch, right?
Right.
But you're right. To me, there's nothing productive from that. Like somebody could get hurt, yep. Something, you know, there's no positive outcome of a position player pitching because you're already down, you're probably down double-digit runs or close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just concede, we'll meet back here tomorrow.
Right. Now, you make the point when you have to do it because there is TV, there's money involved in this situation. So it has to be after the seventh. You must play 7 full innings.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Because what you don't want to do is some team scores 12 runs in the first 3. And you do it because then Fox and TBS and NBC Sports Philly and all the networks are going to be mad that they didn't get to fill their commercials and spots like and stuff like that. But 7 innings at the completion of the 7th inning, at that point, and it rarely happens. I'm just saying you have to say what the rule would be. The rule would be after 7 innings, you can wave the white flag.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
After the completion of 7. So top 8 on. By all means, and many times what ends up happening too sometimes would be tough decision in these extra inning games. Sometimes you get to the point where it doesn't happen often, but it's the 14th inning, and you're out of pitchers. And you got to play that same team tomorrow, or you got to get on a flight and go like, oh, wait, the Philly got to play the Dodgers tomorrow. Every so often you end up with those type of things. Would a manager ever think to concede a tied game to save because he's out of pitchers?
Maybe early, like April, May. You get to the point in June, though, I can't see it happening.
See, I do.
Because you do have a chance to still win that game.
You still have. I'm just wondering what they would do when they're out of pit. Or you already have, a lot of these managers have one guy they kind of is designated to be their position guy. Okay, he does that, and he gets lucky. Even though there was a man on second, he gets out of it. Now I have nobody. I can't send my shortstop out to pitch another inning. What do I do? And the other team has a guy.
Well, if you remember, almost a decade ago now, I think Wilson Valdez threw 2 or 3 innings in a win. It was like a 19-inning game.
Right.
Got the win.
He did, yeah. So this is what I'm talking about. See, a lot of times, sports radio becomes the place for hot takes. But if you look at what most moves are with your teams, most of the time, they're more modifications because the blockbuster deal is, after all, the blockbuster deal. It's rare. Like, if the Sixers are able to pull off the Dame trade, that will be their first big trade since the Butler trade, as far as cataclysmic, huge trade. The Curry trade ended up being really big. The Curry and Danny Green trades ended up being big, but they were more modifications than they were full changes.
Sure, because when you talk about Josh Richardson for Seth Curry, you go, Oh, that's great, man. The Sixers got another shooter. That's awesome. Right. That's going to help, you know, on the perimeter shooting.
You didn't realize how...
He scored 20 points in a playoff game.
Right, you didn't realize that. Most moves are like that. And I think that... And since I think that's what's going to be realistic for both the Flyers, because now they have to freeze until Wednesday, and then we're counting down to the actual draft. And I think that's the more realistic thing for the Phillies. I'm trying to keep us in that same kind of mode, not thinking too huge, at least until after the Olympics, and there may be Sixers talk as far as what, because they're looking probably for a big fish. So I'm just trying to keep us in a certain level. That's all. Certain mindset. Joe in, actually, hold on, Joe. 610-632-0975. I don't want you to get your full time. Joe, Dennis, Danielle, you're up next. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is modify. I'm trying to be subtle. And then also, it was my fault. I stopped asking some of the survey questions. I have to start asking more of the Philadelphia Sports Survey so that I can hear how you guys feel about all of your teams, your venues, your foods, and different things as well. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic,
NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli, 610-632-0975. Now it's time to update our Twitter poll before we get to Taron Hatcher, and that is brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Tyler?
Yeah, so the question today is, if the Phillies are going to win the NL East, which of these do you have more confidence in happening in the second half of the season? Closer than it was when we started, Tyrone. 53% of the votes say that the Phillies play well. 47% say that the Mets will struggle.
Interesting. Still not a lot of people fully on board with the Phillies being good, but the Flyers made some moves to try to make themselves good as they approach the expansion draft and the actual draft. And on the line from NBC Sports Philadelphia on the Comcast Business Hotline is Taron Hatcher. How are you today, Taron?
Hey, Tyrone. Having me on in the middle of the summer, I mean, this is great. Love having some Flyers talk in the heat of July.
Well, we got a little bit of action now. First things first, we knew that defense was an issue. You didn't have to be a hockey expert. You didn't have to really watch a lot of games to recognize that the Flyers had some issues on the back end. They make the trade for Ryan Ellis. I think it was a little bit of a surprise for the fans is that they didn't expect it to happen when it happened. Number one, is there any downside to this move?
No. I think the only thing that I will say, and it's not a downside given what they got back, I was excited to see the development of Phil Myers, what he would become. He did struggle last year. The entire defense struggled last year for a whole host of reasons. We all know that, if you've already mentioned Tyrone. And as a young player who did have a high ceiling but some low lows, not having the practice time, I think did negatively impact Phil Myers last year. I was excited to see where he could go, but now he will be going in that direction with the Predators. But no, getting Ryan Ellis back outweighs the development of Phil Myers to me for what the Flyers have right now. Because I think they see that they're in a prime spot with some, you know, young guys that aren't truly up and coming anymore. They're kind of arrived and they need to produce. And then a core of players that should be able to produce as well. They needed someone who'd be ready now. Ryan Ellis is that guy. This is a great move. This is one we talked about at the trade deadline. At that point, it had become clear that the Flyers were sellers, not buyers. So this move makes more sense that it happened now. But no downsides for me, Ty, when it comes to this one.
All right. A lot of fans had a connection with Nolan Patrick. Partially, I think because of the health issues. And the other part of it was the fact that he was so highly drafted. But as far as production goes, though, not a huge loss. Is that fair to say?
No, I mean, it's another one of those things, kind of the same thing that I talked about with Phil, but it's also a different, very different situation when it comes to Nolan, is you always wonder about that what if. When you're talking about, you know, these young guys that you believe have a high ceiling, there is always that question of what if, what will they do in the future? And I think people still believe that with Nolan because he was such a high draft pick, because he was, you know, he was able to make his presence felt at a young age, and he had such a good junior's career in terms of what he was able to do before he even entered the NHL. But I think if you have that connection to Nolan Patrick, if you hope for the best for Nolan Patrick, if you want to see him succeed, this is actually a trade that you should also feel good about, even if it's not with us. There's a Brandon Wheat Kings connection out in Vegas, and that's where he played his junior hockey and really flourished. And I think a change of scenery was probably something that would be good for Nolan, and this is a change of scenery that I think will be very good for Nolan. So for those people that on the human side of things really felt for him this past year, I think even you should feel good about the fact that if his career has hope of bouncing back in any way, that's the place for him to do it. And you do root for him given, I mean, head injuries are no joke. You want to see everybody bounce back from that. So I think this is a great trade again, because Nolan lands in a situation that you hope will be good for him. It seems like it should be good for him. And it lands the Flyers in a really great situation right now as well. And you know what you're getting. We're not talking about a question mark you don't know about. You can look up Ryan Ellis's numbers. You know, last six season, 199 points, 55 goals, 144 assists, and 360 games. He's a top pair defenseman, a right-handed shot. He checks a ton of boxes. So it is a trade that I saw and thought, this is a best case scenario for a lot of parties in this situation.
Now that's interesting. I'm glad you feel so good about that, because that happens, and then right after that, the protection list has to come out for the upcoming expansion draft with Seattle. Mm-hmm. And really, everything seemed kind of, what was it? It's, no one was surprised until one name in particular shows up, and that's JVR. Number one, are you surprised that he ends up on, are you surprised he ends up exposed, number one? And then number two, if you're not surprised, why or why not?
Oh, this is such a tough one to answer. I wouldn't have been surprised either way, and I would have been surprised both ways, if that makes any. And I think a lot of people close to the Flyers and who have been around them all season feel that way, where you feel like with the season he had and how good he played, you could make such a strong case for you want to protect him, especially since they traded Nolan. That opened the spot up for JVR. There was a question as to who that last forward protected might be. And when they traded Nolan, it felt like, oh, JVR slots right into that spot. Instead, Nick Obey-Cubell slots into that spot. That did surprise me. But at the same time, James holds a hefty contract. The Flyers and Chuck Fletcher have made it very, very clear their cap space situation, they got to do some work on it. And JVR is a ton of work, and he's a really attractive commodity for Seattle as well because of how well he played. Because you got to remember, you got a contract for Sean Couturier coming up, and Sean Couturier is probably going to be able to demand as much money as he wants in this flat cap era, which is something very few players can do. And so the Flyers, I think, are thinking a few steps ahead as well. So I did understand it, but the way he played this year, you would understand it if he was protected as well. I see both sides of the argument, but when I look at the Flyers and the next few years they have coming up, the next few contracts they have coming up, some restricted free agent contracts they have coming up, it makes a lot of sense that he was left unprotected. And you never know, like the team may try to entice with draft picks the Kraken to take somebody else as well. So if they really don't want to lose James, they want to get rid of, you know, some of those other unprotected players. Jake Voracek's name obviously has been thrown around a ton.
Yes.
They can do what Pittsburgh did with Marc-Andre Fleury during the Vegas expansion draft and say, hey, you want a couple, you know, I think with Marc-Andre Fleury, it was a second round pick, I believe. I've heard the Kraken's price is a little bit steeper than that, given the flat cap, but you never know. They could entice them to go in a different direction, but it didn't totally surprise me that JVR was left unprotected, because you might not have to entice them to take JVR's contract. They might just want him because of what he was able to do. So this is another one that makes a lot of sense. I think people were a little disappointed in the fact that Chuck didn't make bigger moves at the trade deadline. But the past few days, I look at what Chuck Fletcher has done, and a lot of kudos to him, because everything that he's done has made quite a bit of sense in the present and in the future for a lot of people.
We're speaking to Taryn Hatcher from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Last question, Taryn. The Flyers, obviously, from everything you said, have gotten better. If you were in charge of the team, and we know you're not the GM, what would be your... Well, yeah, no, you're not. You're literally not the GM.
If you, I wish.
If you were, what would be the next move? Let's say they work out something and Voracek, because that's a rumor. Let's just say a rumor happens and Voracek and a pick goes to Seattle and something else comes back to the Flyers. Let's just say that happened. What would be your next move? Because with the cap, they're limited. They can't do a whole bunch of things. What would be Taryn Hatcher's next move for the Flyers based on where they stand right now, right after the expansion draft, let's say?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I'm in the same mindset that a lot of, I've tried to be thinking the way that a lot of the GMs have been looking and so on and mm-hmm. so forth. And obviously there's a freeze on everything right now until the expansion draft takes place. So I honestly, my next move would depend a lot on what happens in the expansion draft, because you don't know what pieces are going to be left that other teams are still going to want to get rid of, that you could try to make trades for. Tarasenko has been an interesting case for me, Vladimir Tarasenko. This is like a pipe dream, but Gabriel Landeskog out in Colorado hasn't been re-signed yet, and he would cost a ton of money, and that's not even in the realm of possibility, but I would love a Landeskog. I think a ton of people would love a Landeskog on this team. I really don't know, because the other part of this tie that's going to be the big, big question mark is the players that we expected to do things this past year. Not all of them, I would say almost all of them, did not meet those expectations. So part of me is prone to base my assessment on this team off of 2019 and what they did then, mixed in with a little bit of a bias from the 2020 performances. And I would say you don't have to do a ton. The defense was the issue you had to address. And I think he already did that. It's always nice to have another center, especially with Nolan Patrick gone, get some more depth down the middle. But there are some names out there, some guys that people expected to re-sign. Landeskog is one of them that haven't re-signed with their teams yet. And it's interesting to see. I don't think he's in the realm of possibility, like I said. But
just something to keep in the back of the mind if something crazy happens, if it gets nutty.
Yeah, like if you look up what Chuck Fletcher's dad was able to do back in the day, he pulled off some wild, wild trades. So there's. Chuck has it in his genes to do the same. But, I have to see how this expansion draft shakes out, because it seems like a lot of people rushed to make the moves they knew they wanted to get done before that protection list had to be announced. And the moves they weren't sure about, they're sitting back to see how things shake out. And that's the direction I tend to lean as well. We'll have a much clearer picture of needs and trades, etc., once this expansion draft takes place. But for now, I don't have really a firm direction that I want to head, because Chuck already addressed it. I mean, kudos to him, because that was the trade they needed to make, and they made it.
That has everybody feeling good. Well, thank you, Taryn. Go back to enjoying more of your summer once again. But I think Wednesday and then this upcoming weekend is going to be pretty interesting.
Thank you, Ty. Thanks for having me on the chat. A little hockey.
Yes. Nice to have hockey. That was Taryn Hatcher on the Comcast Business Hotline. Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. All right, 610-632-0975. Only a 3-minute break, then Joe and Danielle will get to you. And then we're going to mix in some Fan Fest tickets. We got Matt Breen still to talk about the Phillies. A lot to get to this afternoon. And the word of the day is modify. making little modifications like the Flyers just did. And if they filled their number one hole, that was big. That was a big modification. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thanks, Taron Hatcher, for coming on. Always thorough. Always gives thorough answers. Word of the day is modify. Flyers made a modification. We hope the Phillies make a modification. And I think I'm trying to temper expectations. I want a Chris Bryant deal. I want one of the big deals. I think it's going to be something that could still help this team. Maybe two bullpen guys. Bullpen guys are always available. And Jason Stark has talked about it. I'm sure on Wednesday he'll talk about it again. There's always bullpen guys available. So then I'm looking at subtle changes in sports. Like I mentioned, my wife had the suggestion, I think that it really I really like in the NBA where you can decline a foul. So, for example, or I don't need the slow walk from the manager anymore. Just like in soccer, you hold up green has the player you want to come in. Red is the player you want out. Same with the double switch. You just hold up a different one. You change the player that you want out. You go in, done. In fact, I'm done with the paper lineup cards, period, too, in baseball. I don't know why. Hold up. You can't do that because your paper card. Are we still paper cards? Are you kidding me with this still? You're sorry, that player's not on your paper card. Like, what? Come on.
Why is it not on an iPad or a tablet or whatever they are, right? Like,
it's enough.
And here's the thing, too. You know who the players are, right? It's not like you're not coming out to, you know, my summer league games, right? Ben Salem versus Middletown, right? And we're like scheming and I'm bringing in guys that you've never seen. You know who Ranger Suarez is, who was it? No, I'm sorry, it wasn't Ranger Suarez. Who was it? It was Eniel De Los Santos.
Yeah, he can't be in
you
there
know
because he's
who
not on the
Eniel
card.
De Los Santos is.
I cut it out. Like, enough with that.
And it was announced earlier in the day.
Right.
The roster transaction was Eniel De Los Santos' contract was purchased by the Phillies, right?
Right.
So he was clearly on the team.
It was just dumb. And football has some too. I just want to make subtle changes that don't affect the game a lot, but could just make sports a little better. Joe in Dover, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes.
What's up, Joe?
Yeah, I have a interest in when I'm watching the games. I watch Philadelphia Phillies every game they play, and it's a little discouraging when you see Harper.
Whatever you have in the background, can you turn it down for me, please?
Yes, that's you. Okay, it's a little discouraging when you see Tom McCarthy and the gang up in the booth criticize the black players when they make an error.
What do you mean?
But when if a dude or somebody, you know, drop a ball or miss a catch or something, they'll complain about it the whole game. But when Harper or Bones or Hoskins, they'll make excuses why it happened.
Now, do you think, I'm asking you, because I'm not going to dismiss your observation. Let me ask you this. Do you think that perhaps, is there any chance that you're being sensitive, number one, or is there a chance that Bryce Harper, because of how hard he plays, would get the benefit of the doubt compared to Segura, for example, a player who has had a knock is not playing hard. I'm just asking you, or do you think that they're really biased against darker complexion players?
That's what I believe.
I have not observed that. I'm just going to be honest. If I had observed that, I would say it. I have not observed that personally. There's times where I disagree with any of the analysts about stuff, but I mean, that could be Jimmy Rollins, that could be Ruben Amaro, that could be Ben Davis, that could be Mike Smith, that could be Kruk. Like, I've disagreed, but I don't think anybody is actually on purpose biased against any particular players. At least I don't hear it. Do you notice it, Tyler?
I don't think so. Not that I've seen.
And their defense has been generally horrible. Like, I'm saying, for the most
poor
part.
Across the board.
Like, first base has been bad. Third base, Didi doesn't get to a lot of balls anymore. Bryce has not been as good in right field as he was 2 years ago. His first full season here, he was, I thought, borderline gold glove level in right field. Borderline, I mean, he didn't win. But now he's passable out there at this point. I never noticed that so far. Now, there was the knock on Smith at one time, but that was years ago at this point. And that's one guy who doesn't do every game. And definitely not Tom McCarthy. Yeah, man, it's like a peach. Like, he's a saint. Like, I don't know. I don't hear it. Danielle in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey.
How are you, Danielle?
I'm doing good.
Good.
All right. I'm going to talk about the adjustment.
Yes, a subtle modification.
This has been driving me. It's not like a huge deal, but mm-hmm. It's been driving me nuts.
Yes.
Giannis, he gets the ball for the free throws, and he mm-hmm. does that fake shot. And then he gets the ball, and then, the mm-hmm. time starts. Well, that time needs to be starting when he's taking that fake shot. Like, why is he getting that extra time?
So you want to speed up the free throw process in the sport now.
Well, the way he does it, it's like it only applies to him because they don't call it on other players.
No, but let me ask you this. Let's say Giannis, who's, by the way, proven to be an all-time great if you look at his
numbers. Yeah.
Let's say he was on your team. Are you frustrated because you're watching these finals games and you're watching them and you're like, hurry up? Or would you want it called, let's say Ben Simmons' new process, he has to come back.
Yeah.
He needs to take a long time to get the 70% from shooting.
Right.
Like, and Joe points out, the Phoenix crowd yelling and doing the count, to me, has been kind of fun. So would you be okay? It's Joel Embiid. It's one of your players, and they're at the line, and then they get taken. Like, basically, they lose a foul shot because of the clock. I'm just asking. Would you be okay with it being called consistently?
I guess I would have to be.
All right, listen, I'm not against anything like that. It's generally not a problem because it's like a Giannis thing. Carl Malone used to be Carl Malone back in the day, though, used to be very slow as well. Carl Malone, there was nothing good about Carl Malone. In fact, there's been nothing good about the Utah Jazz ever, other than the way they currently play. They play beautiful basketball. Danielle, have you had a chance to win FanFest tickets yet?
I was going to bring it up to you. I have not missed one yet, and
all right, so I tell you what, Danielle. I'm going to give you FanFest tickets
Thank you, Ty.
Put you on hold right there, and bam, it's just that easy. And it's the return of 97.5 The Fanatics FanFest, Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live. FanFest 2021 is a free event, but you will need a ticket to attend. Keep listening for ticket giveaways and more special announcements. Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino Philadelphia, Hotel in Philadelphia, and Hotel Philadelphia. The official hotel partner and after party of 97.5 The Fanatics FanFest 2021 must be 21 to enter. FanFest, it's 2 years in the making. More than 2 years in the making. I know you can't wait to get back out there, Tyler.
So excited.
All right, in fact, I'm in such a giving mood. We've only given away one pair in 2 hours. I am going to give away two pairs in the 4 o'clock hour and two pairs in the 5 o'clock hour for FanFest for a total of five pairs, which I believe is our maximum allotment for the day. I have not got to my maximum allotment on any show I've done so far, on any, either during the week or Saturday. Today, I'm going to get to my maximum allotment today. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is modify. What modifications would you make in sports? And then what modifications do the Phillies need? And how do you feel about the Flyers' changes? On the other side, we'll talk to Matt Breen, who covers the Phillies, and then more of your phone calls. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missanelli on vacation. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. And on the line right now, covers the Phillies for the Inquirer after they've won three straight series and only two back of the Mets. In the NL East is Mr. Matt Breen on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Matt?
I'm good, Tyrone. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for spending a little bit of time. First things first, the Phillies seem to have figured some things out. Number one, the Marlins have been a big bugaboo for them for a long time. They win three or four from them coming out of the break. And despite the fact that with COVID and all this other stuff going into the Yankee series, they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it's funny the way this played out. They got hot by beating a really good team in the Padres. Then they went on the road, which everybody knows they haven't been able to do the last few seasons. They won on the road, and then they come back from the All-Star break, and they beat the Marlins 3 out of 4, which, like you said, that's a team that's had their number the past few years. So it's probably not the way you thought they would get hot, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and in addition to that, the two pitchers that pitched the best were the ones that you wouldn't expect, and the ones you think they would do, they didn't really pitch that well. We could obviously Wheeler was fine, but you would have thought that Eflin and Wheeler would have been the guaranteed wins, and it turned out that the other guys were even better.
Yeah, I knew they would win the starts by Matt Moore and Vince Velasquez. I'm not sure what everybody else is surprised by.
Yeah, it's just insane. And then they get good bullpen last night as well, so. Like, a lot of things just seem to be going well for them right now. And then they'll get Nola the day off, and then they go up to the Yankees, and they have Nola going. And then that jumps right to that trade deadline situation. Only two back. Somehow the Mets play 7 straight against the Pirates and lose some of their lead in the division. Do you think that Dombrowski also spoke? Just where do you think the Phillies brass mindset is 10 days or so before the trade deadline?
I think it has to be that you're going to buy, and that was maybe less certain before, you know, this stretch of play, but I think you're going to have to buy at the deadline, and there's obvious areas that need to be addressed. Center field is one of them. The back of the bullpen's another. Starting pitching. I know we just talked about Matt Moore and Vince Velasquez, but you need a fourth or fifth starter, and that's three things that you need to buy at the deadline if you want to contend, because the Mets are going to buy, the Nationals are going to buy, probably, and we're already seeing the Braves are buying. So there was a lot of talk in the offseason about how the NL East was the only division in baseball where every team upgraded this offseason. Every team was trying to win and how tough that division would be. But, you know, lo and behold, the division has, you know, not been all that tough for the first half. But now I think you're seeing that at least three of the teams in the NL East are going to buy at the deadline, because of the division so wide open. And, you know, the Phillies, if they want to get back to the playoffs for the first time in, you know, a decade, that they're going to have to buy. And it's going to be interesting to see how Dave Dombrowski navigates that. And I think we're going to learn a lot about how he views, you know, who's untouchable and what he really feels about the guys that he brought on when he got hired last offseason.
Yeah, and you led me right to my next question, in that Klintak built a lot of this team, and then Dombrowski takes over late in the process, doesn't have a full all season, COVID and everything else. And now, you're right, we'll find out who's his guy and who was the last team's guy. And do you think that there's movement, there could be movement with players that are currently on the major league roster at the deadline?
There could be, but if you're looking to buy, you're trading with teams that are trying to shed payroll. Mm. So, you know, it's going to be, they don't want a guy, like, just throwing it out there, they don't want Rhys Hoskins, most likely, because Rhys Hoskins is only under team control for 2 more seasons. So you want a prospect. If you're selling off parts at the deadline, you want prospects. You want the full 6 years of service of control. You don't want somebody, you don't want a heavy contract. You don't want someone you're going to have to sign to a free agent that's going to hit free agency in a couple of seasons. So if they were selling, I think you'd see more of that. You would see, you know, how he feels about, say, Alec Boehm or Hoskins or Odubel Herrera, whatever. You know, I think you would see more trades like that. But I think we're going to learn more about the prospects that he deems are untouchable and or the prospects that, you know, he really likes. And if you look at Dave Dombrowski's trade history, wherever he's been and during the season trades, he has not been shy to trade prospects. And the majority of those prospects have not come back to hurt him. So he's at least presented in the past a good feel for, you know, a good self-evaluation of his own farm system. And, you know, hasn't had a lot of time to evaluate this farm system, but he's going to have to trade from it this month to get what he needs.
He is, and that's going to be interesting. I want to ask you about, you mentioned other teams shedding salary. How much more, because of the struggles, they don't have the hot prospect that they could have brought up on June 1st, for example, to help give a shot in arm. They don't have those prospects, we already know. Money can solve a lot of things. Do you think that the owner, because that even goes above him, will be willing to take on more money, even if it's a rental, to try to push in to win a division? Or do you think these will be kind of cost neutral, more type of cost neutral moves?
I think if you're going to have to move the needle, you're going to have to take on money, and you're going to probably going to have to pay the tax for the first time. John Middleton has said he'd pay the luxury tax in the past if it meant a division title, if it meant a playoff spot. Maybe we wouldn't pay it if it just meant a shot at the wild card. Well, the wild card's out of reach right now. The only thing really in the Phillies' reach is the NL East, and I think if you can pay the luxury tax, if that means going to get Starling Marte, Chris Bryant, Craig Kimbrell, signing Cole Hamels, all those moves most likely put you over the tax because they only have about $4 million. So you're probably going to go over if you make an impact move. And if you look at the way that the Phillies danced around the deadline the last few years, they didn't make those impact trades. You know, they nibbled. They tried to do whatever they could to improve the team but stay under the tax. And that's what you got for it. So if you want to, you know, in my opinion, you're going up against the Mets, who I think are going to, you know, be very active this month. The Braves, like I said, have already been active. You're going to have to make an impact trade, and with that comes paying the tax for the first time.
We're talking to Matt Breen from the Philadelphia Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline. Center field bullpen pitching, starting pitching you mentioned. Let's say Cole Hamels is actually the starter that they pick up. At that point, could you fill in bullpen and center field? My basic question is it going to be a grab bag of things, or do you think they can fill all three?
I mean, I think you have to address, you at least have to address starting pitching and center field. Maybe you believe that the bullpen is starting to, you know, solidify itself, and you can talk yourself into Ranger Suarez in the ninth inning, and Hector Neris looks pretty good for the last week, and Sam Coonrod's on the IL, but he's coming back. So maybe you can't address all three and you talk yourself into the bullpen. But, you know, with all due respect, Travis Jankowski has been a great story. He's played great, but I don't know if that's your everyday center fielder for a playoff team. So I think he's better suited as what he's been in his career, a fourth outfielder, a really good bench player. I think you need to go out and get a center fielder. And, you know, you need to address that position. That's been a problem all year. And starting pitching, I don't believe that Matt Moore, Vince Velasquez is a fourth or fifth starter for a playoff team. I think you need to address that area as well. And if that's Cole Hamels, who, you know, reportedly looked pretty good last week in Texas, the Phillies were there. John Middleton would, you know, loves that 08 team. So I think he would be, you know, really, you know, heartstrings would be pulled to go get him. And, you know, the last thing about Dave Dombrowski is, like I said, that he didn't trade any prospects that came back to hurt him, but everybody knows he obviously traded Randy Johnson, he traded Trevor Hoffman, but they were not at the deadline. But what about those two trades, that he traded away these future Hall of Famers, yet he doesn't consider those trades bad trades, and we've talked about that before. And to me, what that shows is that this guy's not afraid. He's not going to be afraid to make a trade this month to improve his team, and I'm you know, he's done it in the past in Boston. He did it in Miami and made these teams better at the trade deadline, and I'm just curious to see how he does it here.
I want to ask you one last thing. This team has been really kept afloat up until this point by the Bamboo Brass, the Torreyeses, those type of guys. Who gets – is it luck? Does somebody deserve credit for it? Like, how have they been able to fill in with those kind of guys this deep into the year? Because I do think it's admirable how well that many of – so many of those guys have played overall.
Yeah, it's not luck because they were signed. You know, they were brought in. Ronald Torreyes was here last year. I'll give Joe Girardi a lot of credit for him. That's a guy that he loved in New York and was adamant to bring to Philadelphia, to bring him back, to keep him on the opening day roster. He's been really good. Travis Jankowski, same thing. He's been really good. And I'll give, you know, Sam Fold, the GM, and Dave Dombrowski credit there for going out and signing this guy to a minor league deal. And the right pieces fell into place with guys getting hurt, guys underperforming, and next thing you know, he's starting in center field, and he's been really good. Brad Miller, same thing. They paid for the first time in a while, you know, almost 10 years. They invested in the bench with a multi-million dollar contract, and Brad Miller's been really good. Good left-handed bat off the bench. And that's, again, that goes to Dave Dombrowski. That goes to Sam Fold for, you know, bringing a guy back that was here 2 years ago that probably should have been here last year. So they've done, in a small window, I think, you know, the best that they probably could do with both of them coming on board at the end of 2020, you know, a really short offseason, they did a fine job. But I think this is when you really – it's this trade deadline and next offseason is when you're going to see, you know, their real fingerprints on the team, and then you can start to judge their front office performance.
Well, I really appreciate that. And actually, you pointing out the moves that they made with those guys kind of gives me even more optimism that maybe he knows. Well, I already knew he knew what he was doing. But in this current market with the current limitations that he has, maybe he can really pull something off and this team can be off and running and hopefully win a division.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. That's for sure.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Matt. Really appreciate the time, man. And then I guess you're heading up to New York.
Yes, heading up tomorrow.
All right, man. Appreciate the time. That was Matt Breen on the Comcast Business Hotline. Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Interesting. He's hinting at that Dombrowski's not just going to sit there and just let things happen. He's going to try to make something happen. And it's just a matter of what can he make happen.
Well, and it really depends on, you know, how comfortable they feel winning this division, because, you know, for me, like, going all out, and Matt brings up the impact move, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to go all out. Impact doesn't have to be Chris Bryant.
Look, Marte, not Bryant, but he would help a whole lot.
Absolutely. So they're going to gauge how much, not only do they feel like they can win this division, but how do they stack up against Milwaukee, San Diego, San Francisco, the Dodgers. That's going to to me, is going to be what the determinant factor is to how much they are willing to make a trade, a big trade, that is. It's not the Mets. I think it's the rest of the teams.
And that's going to be interesting, where they think they are. And I'm excited about it. I'm in, but it seems like I don't know if everybody else is in. But let's get back to the phones. And again, we'll be giving away some FanFest tickets this hour and the next here. Dennis in Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, good afternoon, fellas.
What's up,
how
Dennis?
Are you today?
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Tyrone, I really enjoy you.
Thank you. Thank you. Trying hard. Thank you.
No, it's and I like you on the Outsiders too.
Thank you.
I like it. But anyway, this has been bugging me, and
all right.
I don't know if it makes the game any better, but I think it makes it more enjoyable for me, and I'm really the only one I care about.
Mm-hmm.
But the NBA. Before each game starts, the referee goes up to each team, looks at the starting five, and says, you right there, number four, whatever, you're the only one allowed to talk to me during the game. Takes a guy from the bench. When you're in the game, you're the only guy allowed to talk to me during the game. I am so sick and tired of seeing every player complain about A, fouling, or B, not getting a foul called, the incessant chatting with the referees during foul shots or whatever. I can't stand it. The NBA is the only league I've ever seen where nobody commits a foul, yet everybody got fouled. And I think you got to put a stop. I think if you put a stop to that.
Would that speed the game up in some way?
I don't know if it'll speed it up, but it's.
Are you just caping for referees and their fragile egos? Like, I'm confused. I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying, what is your motivation for that move? Is it just annoying to see guys working the refs? Like, what is it that bothers you about it? Is my question.
Just the constant talking to the refs or complaining or yelling or the hands up in the air. It doesn't really happen in any other sport. You complain about balls and strikes to an umpire, you're gone.
Yeah, but they talk to umpires. No, guys talk to umpires all the time. If they think a pitch is outside, they're not demonstrative. There's tons of conversation where he'll step out the box and he's saying, was that outside? Wasn't that a little low? They're not arguing. And sometimes those guys get a little too sensitive. I hear you. I will admit there's times where I want guys to get back on defense, for example, and they're working in refs and things like that. I honestly think, though, you know what it is? I don't really respect refs or umpires. I don't really respect them. I don't respect the profession at all. So it's hard for me to feel bad for any of them because I don't respect the profession.
Can I ask why?
Why I don't respect the profession?
Yeah, I'm genuinely curious.
Because it's like you're a paid snitch, but you're not actually protecting anybody. Like you're not brave, but you're still a snitch. I feel like refs and umps are like hall monitors. Like what makes you think, you know what, I want to go to games and tell great athletes what they can't do?
Well, I guess
something about the, like, what in your DNA leads you? Like, if you're like Hayward Workman, played in the NBA, clearly loved it, becomes a ref. I sort of get him.
Right.
But everyone else, for the most part, like, and then they have there's female refs now, and that's not a bad thing. I'm saying you're a young girl. Saying growing up, young lady, young fella, and you go, man, you know what I would love to do? Go tell Shaquille O'Neal that he's out of there. Like when you were a kid, I'm saying, then you go, I get to tell LeBron James he traveled. It's just something, like, I want to punch out Bryce Harper. There's something about that feels weak.
Okay. Because, like, I don't
know why, but it just hits me at why. Same thing happens with people who do the parking authority. You walk around and give tickets. Some about that feels weak. Nah, I'm not talking about like crime fighters. I'm talking about like that's just snitching. Like I'm not talking about like if it's a handicap spot, if you're double parked and you're blocking a safety issue. I'm talking about, oh no, this person was supposed to be out at
my
4
meter
o'clock,
ran out.
And at 4:01, here's a $60 ticket. I'm so proud of myself. Like it's something to me. It's a profession I don't respect. And refs to me and the parking authority people, the same to me. So the ones that are doing just the meters.
When I was, you know, in high school, right, teenager?
Yeah.
I was, you know, on weekends, nights, and things like that, I would umpire games, right?
That was
to make some cash, so like on a Friday or Saturday night, I could go, you know, do something.
Go on a date?
There was never a point, because I hated it. Because the worst part about umpiring, especially like, it was in-house. It wasn't travel. It wasn't AAU. It was in-house baseball. The worst part about umpiring in-house baseball were the parents.
They're terrible.
And so at no point as a 15, 16, 17-year-old was I like, you know what I want to do for the rest of my life is tell people they're wrong and they're out. Like, it never. So, like, I did it just to, because I knew the game, right? I know baseball. Yeah. So it was like an easy $20 an hour or whatever it was.
And if you have that as your side hustle, you work and then you're doing your local towns games. No. Not talking about that. I'm talking about you think, man, I want to be a professional at snitching. It's just something about it feels wrong to me. I apologize that I don't know. It just feels wrong. I want to be watching film on how to tell somebody else more. And then the demonstrative ref. Like, have some. No one's there to see you. What's with all of this and the fist pumping and further away and all that? If you don't just stay calm, do a slight point and get out of the way, no one's there to see you. And now we got TV refs. And all their job is to always 100% of the time tell us that the refs on the field got it right. They're paying six-figure and seven-figure salaries to refs just for them to tell us that whatever the ref said was always right. They never disagree with the refs. They're paying them even figures to say, you see, my friend, Johnny got the correct call. If you see that right there, you see they got it wrong. Like, it's just something wrong about all of it. Like, the whole ref racket, as far as I'm concerned. That's, you're talking about a modify? I almost wish the NBA was better if you called your own fouls. Like you do at the playground.
You're just playing like at the YMCA.
I feel like they figure it out better than dealing with these terrible refs.
Because you know what? Honestly, with that thing, when you're playing, right? You're playing pickup.
Yeah.
How many times have you just been like, nah, foul? You're pretty honest yes. when you're on the court. Like, you know what a and it's usually, it's got to be a hard foul and, right, for it to be a foul.
It's got to be shooting. No ticky-tack.
Right.
No one's taking a charge. At the playground.
You slap my hand while I'm dribbling. That's not a foul playing.
And no one likes taking charges. Like, no one's there to see that. Like, it's just, I'm just saying that I'm not 100% sure it wouldn't be better without them. 610-632-0975. Didn't expect that to come up today, but it did. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is modified. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is modify. We've been making modifications all day long, but now it's time to update our Twitter poll with Tyler Zuli, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
So the question today, Tyrone, is if the Phillies are going to win the NL East, which of these do you have more confidence in happening? In the second half of the season, it's gotten even closer. So we're at under 1,000 votes so far. 52% say the Phillies play well. 48% say that the Mets will collapse.
Now, it's funny. The Mets are going to Mets. I will admit. Mets are going to Mets. That's what they do. And they are failures. Like, the Phillies are about to play the Yankees. I hate the Mets way more than I hate the Yankees. Probably getting to this tomorrow. Like, of all the teams I hate, the Yankees, not as high as I thought they would be. As far as hate, the Mets are very high.
I also think that a lot of people's disdain for the Yankees has kind of dwindled over the years because they're not winning, and B, it's not just, all right, let's go spend $8 billion to win a chip. You know what I mean? And that's not always the case, but they're not, some of these guys are more homegrown talent now, and it's a little bit more, I guess, palatable for other fans.
And I think that's why I never really fully hated them. I don't care where you get the players from.
I don't either.
I'm not homegrown. I don't care where you grew. Who do you care? Like, when you eat fruit, do you care? Like, do you really care? Like, you like your Jersey tomato because you like the tomato. If you found out that the Jersey tomato sticker was fraudulent and it was a Wisconsin tomato, but the tomato tastes exactly the same, would you care?
No.
You don't care. Florida orange, if it grew in Georgia and it's not a peach instead of an orange, you go, I don't like this Georgia orange. Like, I don't buy that. I don't care where it grows. Just get me good players. I'm not. Now, it happened to be that the Phillies' two best times was a lot of homegrown talent. But that's because you can't buy everybody.
Well, and I think with the Yankees specifically, it's kind of like if you go to the Premier League or La Liga or things like that, because there's not a salary cap, the Yankees just have that ability to go and spend money, whereas teams like the Rays and Oakland, and this, it's partially their fault because they won't, but they don't have the money to spend like the Yankees. I think that's why it irks people.
And the Yankees don't lead in payroll anymore year after year. I mean, the Phillies are, you say, $4 million away.
The Dodgers are, I think, far and away the number one, right?
Yeah, by a lot. And Joe Fordyce is correct. The Phillies did try to do what the Yankees did in 2011.
Absolutely.
Right? And you know what? I loved it. 100 wins. I still believe to this day they were the best team.
Oh, they were.
Didn't work out. They were the best team. I don't care what. They were the best team that year. It just didn't work out. They were the best team.
I don't play in hypotheticals often, but I do believe that if they made the World Series, it was a 5-game series with Texas. They were substantially better than Texas.
Yes. They were the best team. It just didn't work out. Earl and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Earl? All right, let's go to Josh in North Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How's it going, Tyrone?
What's up, Josh?
We need to replace umpires with robots and fans or like a camera or something. Umpires are missing way too many pitches. And the preference they had, too, is ridiculous. Like, if you got Jacob deGrom on the mound, umpire is going to judge it a little differently than he would a no-name pitcher. And we got to get that out the game. It doesn't help anybody advance.
Well, it doesn't help. Yeah, and you're right, Tyler, that they do have that in the Atlantic League. I think they're testing it. I think that you'll need umpires.
Yeah, they're getting in the minors.
I think they'll have them at the bases. But I do think, as far as balls and strikes, I need, based on your height, you know how it's always been, how it should be, based on your height, that's how big your zone is, have the lasers, and it's a strike or a ball, whether you're right, whether it's DeGrom or some AAA guy coming up for his first start. There's no, oh, this guy gives a generous zone. No, no, no. There should just be a zone. And the pitchers should have to pitch to that zone.
And it could be in a split second, it'll be there. Strike, foul, strike, foul, strike, foul. Move on.
And they do it. Think about in tennis. Now, you're talking about 100-mile-per-hour fastball. In tennis, those serves, they got it lasers. Lasers to know whether or not a serve in tennis is out or in. And then there's still humans standing there, like that umpire would be there for plays at the plate, or if there was a malfunction with the computer, or if you saw a ball like bounce and they somehow called it a strike, you can overrule it just like they can overrule it in tennis. But I need a lot more technology with my baseball and less of the human element and less of their human egos with these umpires. I don't need these umpires trying to be known.
With the game. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You got different pitchers coming in now. You got pitchers that could throw five pitches nowadays. You know what I'm saying? So you got to evolve with the game.
Right. I'm going to be doing this survey all week. Let me ask you a question I asked earlier. Who's your favorite athlete right now in all of Philadelphia sports?
I'm going to have to go with Joel.
All right. You're the second vote for Joel Embiid. Massively popular. 2 years ago, Harper was up there. I don't know if he's really up there right now.
And, you know, it's not Harper's fault. Like, Embiid has elevated to MVP status and things like that. And he's fun, right? But Harper, the weirdness of the Harper hate this year particularly is kind of strange. He's hitting almost 290 at this point.
For me, it's not really hate. For me, this is like the ace thing. The ace start, seven innings, two runs or less. I want my stars to, at some point, don't get me wrong, I like steady, carry my team.
That's fair.
And what Harper hasn't done yet, I'm not saying it won't happen, is he hasn't had this stretch where, like, wow, this 8-2 stretch was because of him. And I saw it with Howard, Utley, and Rollins. There was times where they would each get you part of it. Kind of, no wonder they kept on winning. All right, Howard's got you this month. Utley's got you that month. It's like, if you have three different guys that can do that, you're not going to lose.
Right. I mean, you get Rollins, 35-game hitting streak. Utley close to it as well. Howard, back-to-back 50 home run seasons.
Right, 20 in a month. So it's like, what he hasn't done is that yet. That doesn't mean it could start tomorrow, like at any time. And then I think people want dominance. And what he has been is steady. But he hasn't been dominant so far.
That's fair.
Yeah. Lisa in Westchester. All right, talking about referees. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Lisa.
Hello?
Lisa, you're on the air.
Oh, hey. Hey, Tyrone. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. I just want to take you back a few minutes to your hatred of referees, because I am a referee, and I have been so for 8 years.
Oh.
I ref women's lacrosse at a high school, college level.
Okay.
And it's really bothersome to me, because I put a lot of time and effort into refereeing and to be the best ref I can. And I played the sport for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've coached at the college level and all levels. And without refs, the game doesn't go. People get injured. I mean, it's just, it would be sheer chaos out there. And most refs don't want any attention. We want to be invisible in the game. And I know refs are mistreated so badly, especially in basketball. Some of my friends ref Division I. They've been spit on. They've been followed to the locker room. They've had to have security escort them to their car. I mean, it's not easy being a ref, and we don't make so much money that we're, like, living on easy street. Most of us have second jobs. We're teachers. We're full-time employees. So it's just really upsetting to hear that kind of commentary about our profession that we take very seriously.
Well, here's a couple things. I disagree with you about the refs with the attention thing. I think many refs seek attention. Number two, you're not really who I was talking about, if you heard, because I mentioned Haywood Workman in the NBA, who played the game and then became a ref. You played the game and decided because you, part, I guess because of your love of the game, that you would continue reffing the game. Do you work with any referees that never played the game and just show up to give people a hard time?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's bad people in every profession. There's bad sportscasters, there's bad presidents, but that doesn't mean that the whole profession is bad just because of a few bad eggs. But yeah, you're right. There's people that never play the sport, or there's so few people that want to ref, they go and get refs from other sports and pull them into like basketball, or we get a lot of soccer refs. They never even played lacrosse, so they're terrible, but they can improve with time. And I think most people want to do what's right for the athlete. That's where our heart is. So
I hear you,
it's just
Lisa.
Hard to generalize the whole profession.
You also aren't doing the pro. You see, college is a little different. Maybe my stance is too harsh, Lisa. I don't know. Perhaps it is. I wasn't talking about you specifically, but I offer a peace offering. All right? I am going to offer a peace offering.
Okay.
Then I have to get to a quota anyway this hour. Lisa, would you like to come to FanFest? I'll apologize to you to your face.
Sure. I guess I'll come to FanFest and get, but I might be reffing. That's the only problem.
Well, then you can give the tickets to someone else, Lisa.
Okay,
and let me
sure.
go ahead and put you on hold. All right. But refs don't want attention. Let's come on.
You were talking about the professional sports refs and umpires, Major League Baseball umpires,
they're
NBA referees. That's what you were getting
into. They do a terrible job. The Joel Embiid thing happens all the time. They don't even know how to legislate the physicality in a game they watch all the time. Out on the perimeter, you sneeze on a guy. No, that's kind of rough during COVID. Light touch. Out in the post, arm bar and elbows, and that's all right. And they look at you like you're crazy. There's how many times do we see where they do a review and they still get the play wrong? So I know they put time in, but they have, here's one thing the refs do have. They have the easiest job on the floor. Like they say, oh, refs a tough job. Yeah, but is it, like, what's harder to do? Joel Embiid's job or the ref's job? What's harder to do? Bryce Harper's job to stand in the box for the left tough lefty comes in late in the game and throws 100 at him, or the umpire calling the balls and strikes? Who has the tougher job?
Yeah, the when you, I don't know if you've ever seen it, when you look at that video of like the science of hitting,
yeah,
like physically, from like a science standpoint, hitting a baseball should actually be physically impossible.
It kind of is at times. It feels like there's times where you see the guy make the pitch. It feels like that pitch that guy just threw, no one on earth could have hit that. It does feel like that sometimes. The place that he put it, first of all, where it started, the hard cut. Now you got guys that throw the 93 slider.
Wheeler, DeGrom, they're all at 91, 92. It's unhittable.
What are you doing here? So like, their job's hard, but like, not harder than like the player's job. And we're allowed to say that, like, we're allowed to say, man, Bryce really came up short. When he's facing, like, but we're not allowed to say, man, that ref stinks. Like, Joel Embiid has a bad game. Like, he's guarding other guys. He has to hedge on defense. All the stuff that you have to do. Running up and down the court and all that stuff. Crowd, all that jazz. And we go, man, we're too hard on the ref? Like, that, like I'm just saying, of the jobs, the easiest one is the ref. Like, we're not going to pretend that that's harder than, like, playing point guard, right? Like, we're not going to do that. Like, throwing those hard pitches is tougher than going ball, strike. Like we do know throwing 100 is harder than ball, strike. All right, get in the box. Ball, like, come on. Like, we do know that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I mean, I'm laughing, but like, I'm not joking. All right, 3 minutes, and then we're back at it. 3 minutes, 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Messinelli, 610-632-0975. Word of day is modify. Still looking for sports modifications. And what modifications might the Phillies need to do now that it's clear that they have to? They've been too good for this stretch now, and this division is too weak for them not to make a modification. Of course, the Flyers made some modifications over the weekend. That Joe West, I checked during the break, you know, that delicate flower. You know he has multiple country albums.
That's that's incredible.
And then you saw on YouTube, you found it. Now, we're going to play it, but he's performing at venues.
Yes, so, I mean, like, the captions are, you know, like, Joe West, the singing umpire. And then he's got covers, and I got to imagine he's got his own stuff.
This is unbelievable that... Like, and I'm just saying, I'm looking at this now. He has a discography available.
Oh, I'm sure he does, if he's got multiple albums.
He is, I mean, he released the album as early as 1987.
And he had an album. Going back 35 years now.
Yeah. And Joe, during the break, was talking about how his grandfather told him how bad Joe West was when he was 8 years old, and 32 years later, he's still umping. He set the record for most games. Yeah, his album was called Blue Cowboy.
I wonder if they got it on like Spotify or Apple Music or something. I'll take a look. I'll see if they have it.
I'm going to check right now. Like, this can't be, right? Joe West, Blue Cowboy. I mean, that's such a common name. Yes.
It is on there.
He has another album apparently called Diamond Dreams, about baseball songs. Out at Home, Diamond Dreams, The Men in Blue, Extra Innings. This is unbelievable. And he's under Cowboy Joe West on Spotify. That was Apple Music. Yet, like, so that guy is the guy who I go, oh, man, poor Joe. It's such a tough job. All he wants to do is just come and umpire a game. He's using his stuff for starters. He got baseball-themed songs.
Do they all begin with, like, you know, I'm the best, I'm right, you're wrong?
Extra Innings. I mean, imagine that song, Extra Innings.
Yeah, probably like, I Want to Go Home, The Strike Zone Just Expanded.
Characters of the Game, Out at Home, Diamond Dreams, The Men in Blue. I hope that song's about police officers and not umpires. Like, about how brave they are. He has a thank you to our military, which is fine. But I'm just... So he's the poster child for the worst of the worst. Joe West.
The person that Joe West loves the most in this world is Joe West.
And no egomaniac can be arbitrary.
No.
It can't be arbitrary.
It's not baseball game. It's the Joe West Show.
You guys, the fans are there. He probably turns to the fans and stuff. I'm the crew chief today. John and Overbrook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone.
What's up, John?
How you doing, man?
All right, man.
Hey, I'm glad you guys talked about Joe West, because that was the topic of my conversation here. He is the worst, and along with Angel Hernandez, and there is a third umpire out there, Will Little. He's picking up the rear as far as the worst and the most controversial umpires that's in the MLB today. And how they still have jobs, I have no idea. They must not report to anybody that to be held accountable for.
Yeah, and that's the other part. They claim that they do all this, they do all these studies and they watch all this film, and only the best of the best do the playoffs. You mean to tell me these, first of all, there's not enough good ones to say that. And then at the end of the year, they bring them out, and it's the same people every year. Such and such is doing his 27th World Series, 37th. This guy's doing 100 NBA Finals. They mix in one new person. Like, you mean to tell me, obviously, they're making these relationships is how they're graded. They're not graded correctly because very few of them do a good job. It's unbelievable how, and then they don't have to talk to the media. They can make the worst call in the history of the sport. They don't have to talk to the media. No, and then they're just allowed to the players decide. Like, it's just something. The players play, you go, oh, you got to adjust to the refs. Like, I get that they do, but, like, why? Like, why?
It's incredible. It's incredible. You know, they must have pictures of somebody in the higher-ups or something to keep their jobs. It's just, you know.
And that's why.
It's like.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like these guys feel that the fans come to see them. You know, they pay their hard-earned monies to come see them umpire a game. And it's a joke.
It's unbelievable. And in fact, John, you know, anything, a virtual amount of modification, one of the modifications I would make is finding a way for technology to replace them in every single opportunity possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just not good enough. And you know what, John, do you want to go to FanFest?
Yes, sir.
Let me put you on hold, John. You're going to FanFest. Yes, September 18th at Xfinity Live. After party at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, and it's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. It's just something about them. Like, adjust to the, like, think about this. You got all these athletes, and we know it's true because, like, we want our team to win. But we have to sit there and say, hold on, guys. You guys been playing the sport at the high level. You're in the playoffs. You got to adjust to the refs.
Well, and the thing
are you kidding me with that?
How can there be a rule book, right? And then there's arbitrary things that are different from ref or umpire, right? Strike zone's different. What's a foul and what's not is different. How much of a face mask can you get before it's a face mask penalty?
Holding. Oh, well, you could do this much, but this root crew calls it tight. And that, like, the fact that we sit there and go, and it's the reality, so, like, we have to pay it. But, like, the fact that that's a thing. Hold on, everybody. You got to adjust for them? And they are lucky to be there. They are, because they don't generate revenue. The players, no. Fans watching on TV, the refs work for us. The TV revenue goes to the league, and the league pays the refs with that. They should work for us. And instead, most often, they make our viewing experience worse. Never do you go to a game and think, man, those guys did a great job.
And there's zero accountability for them.
None at all. And they don't even have to talk to the media. That's my number one modification. Number one modification. And that's a good point. Joe points out. Maddux and Glavin. The strike zones, not that they weren't great, like Hall of Fame. The strike zones those guys got once they got the reputation. Like Maddux from the Cubs gets to the Braves, and now everything's a strike. That's how, like they helped him. He had like a 60-something pitch, like per complete game, because like that's strike, and then look how pinpointing is on the corners. Well, you're pinpointing on the corners if the umpires give you the corners and they don't give the other pitcher the corner. It's the first thing I would modify. Now that I come to think of it, their existence, we got to change it. 610-632-0975. What modifications would you make in sports? And of course, the Phillies and the Flyers are on the table. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Start the 5 o'clock hour with, I guess you can call this music.
The smell of fresh cut grass
from Joe West.
Field.
dissected only by a rough-cut diamond of brown dirt, where diamond dreams on fields of green have the young and the old cheer for their teams.
Really, Joe?
And as the summer sun shines golden beams down on your fields of green.
Oh, man.
And diamond dreams.
Thanks, Joe West. 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli, 610-632-0975. Where did Days modify? And one of my modifications that came up, actually because a caller brought it up, was complaining about the players working the refs. And he wasn't wrong. It's just that I said as a profession, it didn't hit me in the feels to feel bad for refs and umps. And I have to just hear Joe West be Joe West.
And like, yeah, so apparently the multi-talented Joe West does a lot of things.
Years
great.
Ago, he had a website. I think the website's now down. But years ago, he talked about how he was not only a sports superstar, but also a country music superstar. That's what his website said.
Who wrote that testimonial? Him?
Yeah. Sports superstar? Umpire? Yet I'm supposed to believe that these guys are just in it for... Listen. It's just not, modifications. I mentioned some. Refs, there would be less of them. Less refs, less ump. There would be more anything else other than them. And we're not doing the slow bop out to the mound anymore. We're holding up like in soccer. You can always steal from other sports. Red is who's coming out. Green, who's going in. Let's go. Drive them to the mound. Let's go. We don't have all day. Tyler, do you have one? You have any?
Yeah, so it's not going to speed up the process at all, but
just
it's something,
some modification.
Something I've thought should happen for a while.
Uh-huh.
College baseball needs to be played with wooden bats for a couple of reasons. One, and the most important, because I know everybody kind of tends to go to, well, it's going to get you ready for the pros because the pros play with wooden bats.
Mm-hmm.
That's important, but that's not the most important reason. These are going to, if not already grown men, almost grown men, it is incredibly too dangerous to be playing with metal bats at this point at the collegiate level. So college baseball needs to play
as hard as these guys are throwing now, too.
Right.
It used to be a big gap between what the college guys were throwing velocity-wise in the pros. Now, maybe they don't have control of it, which actually makes it even more dangerous. But these guys throw pretty damn hard.
Right. I mean, these two guys might be the higher echelon example, but mm-hmm. Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker were both already throwing in the mid-90s, you know, and they're... Obviously, yep. There's a reason they were both first-round picks.
Right.
But guys, even the average velocity, I know, has increased substantially over the last decade or so when it comes to college baseball.
Right. Now, the key thing with that is they claim is budgets. Replacing the wooden bats compared to the metal bats that are, like, indestructible.
Sure.
So that's what they're kind of... But we now know that the NCAA has the money.
But the thing with the budget is, isn't it, if somebody gets hurt...
They don't care about that.
They're not paying for that?
They're paying for it, but they don't care. Insurance is paying it. They don't care. I'm just saying, the NCAA care? The next time
No, the NCAA didn't care about anything.
That's what I'm saying. The next time they care will be the first time they care. So that's why. But you're not wrong. I'm just saying that's a fine one. And my wife, I have to give her credit, declining fouls in basketball would take out the hack of whatever player, not because it's just Ben Simmons. It was just never good to watch. Hack-a-Shaq was never fun to watch. You got the Kings and the Lakers going up and down playing beautiful basketball. Weber in his prime. Even the Bibby team or Jay Will, either one. Vlade Divac, Shaq, Kobe, everybody. And all right, let's stop and walk to the foul line. Let's see if Shaq can make one of two. And then go back and then walk. It's bad for the viewer. It actually takes away from the fan. Being able to decline it would take that stuff out. And I think that would be... Also, none of us ever tune in to watch players miss foul shots. I understand that it's part of the game, if it happens in a natural flow. But none of us ever showed, like, man, that's the fun part of the game. Like, if it's about fan entertainment, and it kind of always should be, that to me would be easy to implement. Dave in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone, how's it going?
What's going on, Dave?
Not much. I'm here visiting my parents in South Jersey. So I got two things for you.
Yeah.
The modification stuff, I'm a big soccer fan. And mm-hmm. I think that having, they call it simulation in soccer. So, you know, if you dive and flop, you know, you get a yellow card or, you know, a red, I guess, eventually. I think they should apply that to all sports, basketball, football. you know, the first time you see it, you know, they, technical, whatever. Well,
they really don't do it enough in soccer, though.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't call it nearly enough. It never gets called, and it should. It should get called way more because it has such a big impact on the game.
Let me tell you. I was at that Union game, and it was a good time. Sons of Ben, that tailgate is incredible. So thank you, Sons of Ben, for having me. Union, it was a lot of fun. All the fans were very kind and very gracious, except for one like young punk. But like that was whatever. He just like one young punk. He was up in the stands as I was walking by with the weather. But some of the DC United guys took quite a few dives on Saturday. So, but you want that applied, but you don't think they have that in football though. You wouldn't need that in football.
I mean, you see the guys coming across the middle, they get touched and they go down a little softer. It's, you know, it's been coming up a little more. I think the culture of that game is a little different than others. You know, I think you see a lot in basketball. If that was an immediate technical, you'd be fine with that.
I'm tired of that level of flopping.
Oh, terrible.
It's one thing if you get hit and you add to it. There's times where the guy's untouched. And acts like he got shot. Oh, my God, he falls back and he didn't even get touched at all. What do you have on the Eagles?
So, for the Eagles, I read an article today on ESPN. They were ranked 30 of 32 for future outlook.
Yeah.
You know, by the typical talking heads on ESPN, whatever. But, you know, I just had a kid in February, and he's going to be an Eagles fan. Thank you. I don't love that as a future for him, as a future Eagle fan. I want to get your thoughts.
Well, there's almost everything says that they're about 30th in talent, 30th in a lot of things. Yet there's others that say they can win 9 games. I'm at 7-10. That's where I'm at. I think this coaching staff is smart. I think Doug did a particularly bad job his last year. I think the offense will be more... Well, it can't be less progressive. I think it'll be more progressive. I think it'll be better as far as an offense goes. But I don't have a ton of faith that they're going to have a great year and make the play. I'm not one of these 9-win person. Like, 7s I'm at, and like, I would go down before I went up.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't get to 8 or 9.
I have them at 6. And,
okay.
And you know what the thing is, too? Everybody, I've heard a lot of people talk about the easiness of the schedule. I don't think it's a very easy schedule.
It's not that easy. And also, other teams are marking the Eagles as a win, like Atlanta. They're not good, but in Atlanta sports talk radio, they're thinking, well, week one, we'll get a win against the Eagles. Detroit stinks. Detroit thinks, well, you know, week one against the Eagles. I mean, week 12 or whatever, 13, we could get a win against the Eagles. Like, everybody else is marking the Eagles as a W. So while we can say 9 or whatever, like, they don't do that with the Chiefs and the Packers and the good, like, you know, the good teams. Even the Chargers or some of those teams. All the teams on their schedules marking that as just like, oh, that's a W.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? Like you mentioned the Chargers. That's a really good example. I've heard a lot of people over the last couple of weeks be like, Chargers home game, got to come across the country. They can win that game. Could they? Sure, but that's a good Chargers team.
I believe they're a good team. A team like that quarterback can play.
Derwin James is back healthy.
Right. The defense, I think, is going to be better. I think that's a tough team. Like, I can't look at any games and just say, oh, yeah, they're definitely winning. I can see 5. 7's where I'm at, but I can't get to 8. I'm not 8, 9 and up. No. It's like, oh, well, if you're 7, you can. No. Like, 7's, like.
That's the ceiling.
That's where I'm at. And I'm being optimistic because I do think that this young coaching staff will figure it out because I do think they have some good minds. They're just all inexperienced. Like, every single one of them, except for like 2 guys.
They'll be fun. They'll be excited.
Well, more fun than last year.
Well, yeah. I mean, you go anywhere any further backwards than the way they did last year, you'd be running like the wing T triple option.
Yeah, all vertical routes. Like, okay. And then don't run the ball. Like it was. So yeah, you ran everybody vertical and you didn't handle. All right. Thanks, Doug. Gary and Lindenwall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone. I just wanted to say you've been doing a good job filling in with Mike recently.
Thank you.
I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
I am going to have to disagree on the doing away with the balls and strikes in baseball.
All right. No, I said, I'm doing away with umpires. There's going to be balls and strikes, only a computer's doing it.
Well, let me clarify that. Yeah, you're right.
But go ahead.
Now, I know there's some bad ones to watch, Joe West, Angel Hernandez. But that's, to me, that's pretty much it.
Those two guys get playoffs and NL and ALCSs and World Series. Those guys.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you are in that matter. You are right. But like other than that, I feel like the majority of them are pretty good. And the one thing I did want to make a point of is I don't really know how you replace the human eye when it comes to balls and strikes. Like in some of those calls, like, you know how when Zach Wheeler, like, he'll throw a 97-mile-per-hour fastball and it's like a sliver off of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's a strike every time, especially with two strikes.
Well, what you could do is you could set the computer to whatever sensitivity that you want. If you want to make it slightly larger than the plate, then just set the computer to slightly larger than the plate, but it would be consistent all the time. And there would be no eye. Like, these guys give up on any low pitch half the time anymore. They look, and it's either, if they've decided it's a strike, it's just going to be a strike. If they decided it's a ball, it's going to be a ball. They don't stick with the pitches anymore because they don't have to. And I just think that with the technology now, in fact, like, okay, so in tennis, I'm not saying that tennis is the mainstream sport. Do you think that when somebody has an ace and it bounces in right on the line and out and the computer gets it, like, you think that that's less accurate than the human eye?
That's challenging, Nancy. You got me on that one.
No, I'm not trying to play gotcha. I'm just saying I don't think the computer's going to be less accurate. I think it's going to be more consistent and I think if you want the hitters to have a fighting chance, and everyone says that that's one of the things they want in baseball, them knowing the zone each time probably gives them a better chance. The pitchers still have an advantage. They always will. But at least they'll say, okay, this is a ball. This is a strike, and I can zone into the zone.
Well, and that's the thing, too, right? Like, the rule book, and of course, it always goes out the window with a kind of, not totally subjective, but umpires who are human. The rule book states letters to knees, right? The letters of your jersey to your knees is the strike zone.
And they don't call it that
anymore.
It's
not called that way. It's belt to letters.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit below, but you very rarely get the bottom of the zone anymore.
And that should come back. And that's where, if you want people, the old school guys, I want guys to choke up on the bat with two outs. If they really had to worry about that low pitch and having to adjust to it, maybe they would do some of the things. Now, I don't tune in to watch a guy choke up and bloop, but I'm saying there are elements of fans who want that. That would be a good way to bring it back without having to do anything drastic with the move the mound and lower the mound. And you don't have to do any of that. Just call the strike zone correctly. But these guys want to make it, this is my strike zone. So you have a 3-game series with a team, 3 different home plate umpires, and 3 different strike zones. And we're just going, hey, that's great. We like that. Like, imagine that. Like, that's your scoring zone. Imagine if the hoop was, like, they were playing with ID in the NBA one time, where, since we're talking about modifications, where you can set, you know how baseball isn't uniform. One of the things I do like is a home run at Citizens Bank Park may not be a home run somewhere else, but to center field, they're deep, like all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Where you could set your 3-point line to whatever you wanted to sit it to. Within certain parameters.
So like
your court.
Golden State's would be massive because of Steph and Clay and all of that.
It would make it deeper. But then you can make yours closer to like the college line if you wanted to.
Like, so San Antonio is a team that comes to mind, right? That would be a team that would push it in. Right? Because they got DeRozan, who's a really good mid-range jump shooter and things like that.
Right, so he would take that line. And then the opponents would get, when you went there, that's what you would get. And they say that would add excitement. And people go, that's nuts. Don't do that. That's crazy. That's kind of what you're doing when there's custom strike zones every single game. You're kind of customizing, in a way, you're customizing scoring. Like, it's 32 feet here, but then 28 feet there. You're kind of doing that. And we just let it happen. And meanwhile, I got to hear about a shift. Don't mess with this shift. That's the strategy of the game. Don't mess with that. Mess with these umpires. Think about it. We hate the hitters. Oh, those guys learn how to go the other way and all that stuff. When I want my guy trying to hit it hard, if they hit it through the shift, good. Hit it through the shift. But instead, so the easiest thing would be like, well, clearly the umps. No. It's the players. It's the managers. It's the farm system. It's just the umps. Like, learn how to call the strike zone. Guys will be able to hit better. But, you know, that's controversial to say. I don't know these umpires. Natalie in Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Natalie. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to compliment you. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
And
I am trying.
I just wanted to Yeah, no, you do. You know when you don't know someone, but you're proud of them like you do know them? That's how I feel about you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I wanted to make a comment about the umpires.
Yes.
It's like they antagonize the pitchers. Like, do you remember when Papelbon was on the Phillies and he, like, I think he got thrown out for trying to question one of the umpires? And yep. The reporter was like, what did you want to ask him? And he was like, well, I wanted to know why he sucked. And he was like, if I suck, I get sent down to the minor leagues.
Yeah.
It's just like they think the pitchers, like, can't even say anything. And it's like, you're messing up my stats. You're messing up the game. You're all over the place.
Eventually, my money, my livelihood. Yeah. And yeah, and it's like, I understand you can't argue balls and strikes, but if there's a pitch that's clearly low and they miss it, the umpire, at least the pitcher should be able to know, like, okay, if I throw there again, will you call that consistently? Like, is that your zone? You're not even, some umpires, they got big rabbit ears, and you say a little thing and they throw you out the game.
Yep.
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but that's all I had.
All right, no, that's fine, Natalie. You know what? Because we don't want just fellas at FanFest, are you interested in getting FanFest tickets?
Listen, I already got FanFest tickets from you when we were talking about the potato salad.
All right. Well, then if that's the case,
but
you're
all set. But I'll take another two.
No, you're already set. You're already good, Natalie. Yeah, thank you. Yes, that was one of the things, apparently, but I don't know if you heard about this, where there was apparently, I don't know where it came from, there was this rumor that FanFest was a men-only event.
Who said that?
I don't know, man. I just hear stuff. And then that became a Mike Missanelli show then thing. If a female has a good call, she can automatically come. That's been a thing with the show.
Okay.
Because to counteract that, yeah, apparently that was out there. I don't know how it got out there, but it was out there. I know for a fact it was out there. I don't know who originated the idea. Maybe a hater.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. Now, because we give it's going to be tons of fellas. We give tons of fellas. It's just mix in a lady. And it was like apparently, like, no, you can't do that. Yeah, it was a whole thing. I don't know. It was a whole thing. I don't like, I don't like when things become things. Like, it becomes a thing.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I don't like when things become, I don't like when it becomes a thing. Those two things I don't like. When something becomes a thing, and that's how they get you. Like, you'll say, oh, how much is such and such? And you'll say, oh, it's only $49. And they'll say, but it's X number of shipping. Oh, that's where they go.
Oh.
I don't like that that's how they get
I got
you.
One for you on that.
Well, go ahead.
All right, so I was telling you before the show started, right, that I was in the process of moving this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So I got the moving vehicle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a set price for, you know, whatever size vehicle you get, right? So Obviously the bigger vehicle, the more expensive.
Right.
And then they're like, but wait. Like $1.50 per mile, and I wasn't going far. But I, you know, still had to go about 40 miles round trip to pick my stuff up, pick my fiance's stuff up,
and get the
there,
new place. Right.
And then take the truck back. So It was like 40, you know. So the truck was cheap until you $1.50 a mile, and then all of a sudden it's like, where'd this $60 come from?
That's how they get you. One day, my dream is to come up with a business where there is no, that's how they get you. Everybody knows what I'm talking about with that, that's how they get you. Nobody wants a that's how they get you. All right? So we don't want things to become a thing, and we don't want that's how they get you. We've all had that conversation. You see, oh, what's it? You see, oh, yeah, well, you get that. And then after a year, though, the price shoots way up. See, that's how they get you. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. A lot of show left. You still got time to get in. The word of the day is modify. And, of course, talking Phillies and Flyers. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
and I get an encore.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
The John Kincaid Show.
A 3-1 series win for this team is a great start to the second half of the year. Not a good start, it's a great start. Two games back in the National League East, things breaking their way, creates a lot of excitement.
Anthony Gargano.
The Phillies are going to be buyers, and they need to be buyers. You need to go for it. You need to get a closer. Whatever it takes, get the closer. Shore up the pen. The Tunis train's been rumbling.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I'm excited about the Phillies, but 3 of 4, they've now won 3 straight series for the first time in a while. They're going up to the Yankees. Nola's going to be available to pitch. This is a real opportunity. I am very excited about the Phillies with a couple of caveats.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli, 610-632-0975. And now it's time for our final Twitter poll numbers, and that's brought to you by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. Tyler?
Yes, and the final numbers on the question of if the Phillies are going to win the NL East, which of these do you think is, or are you more confident in happening in the second half of the season? 53% say the Phillies will play well. 47% say the Mets will struggle.
Yeah, and it could go either way. It could go either way because the Mets are the Mets. And they, I feel like it's in their DNA to mess up. And the Phillies do have the easier schedule. So it could go that's a good poll. That it literally could go either way.
Sure. I think the one thing that I don't take as much stock in as some do is the whole like Mets franchise saga, right, of the collapsing. And I know that it's happened in the past.
I kind of believe it.
But some of the guys weren't on those teams when it happened.
You're right.
So
you know what I think it is? I think it's something about how they weren't supposed to the fact that they're in Queens. And that's why the Brooklyn Dodgers ended up in California, because they didn't want to be in Queens. I think it's something about that ground, being in Queens, that makes them cursed to a certain amount.
Even with the new stadium?
Because it's still in Queens. If they ever become the Brooklyn Mets like they were supposed to be, then I think the curse would be lifted. That's the one thing. Because at the end of the day, that's what happens. So the Brooklyn Dodgers, they want the Brooklyn Dodgers to go to Queens. So the Brooklyn Dodgers go to California. They go to L.A. And then the Mets become an expansion team, and they put them in Queens. Basically, they got their way. But I feel like ever since then, like they've had dribs and drabs of winning. But as bad as the Phillies' history is, the Mets, neck and neck in badness.
Well, I think, you got the same amount of World Series in 80 less years.
Yeah, but you can't count the years before the Mets existed. From the moment the Mets started and the Phillies forward, it's very similar.
It's two World Series, badness. Two World Series apiece.
Another appearance apiece.
Right.
Two.
Well, the Mets were in what? Two in the 90s or one?
Well, yeah,
it was just one.
It was one.
Right. And then one in 16.
Yeah.
Okay. So since the Mets came in, the Phillies have appeared in outside of their wins. They had 83, 93, and 09. So I guess the Phillies do have more appearances.
And since their existence. Can't go with the pre-Mets existence losing. I'm just saying they're not any good. That's why I hate them more than the Yankees. I just do. John and Glenn Mills, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Tyrone.
What's up, John? How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. I wanted to make a suggestion
to
modify baseball to speed up the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You probably remember, you're younger than I am, but there was Charles Finley was the old owner of the Oakland A's.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was alive today, he might make the suggestion. The owners probably would like this. The fans might, and the players definitely wouldn't, because it would lessen the number of players on the roster. But instead of having 4 balls and 3 strikes, I would cut it down to 3 balls and 2 strikes.
Why?
Because it would speed up the game. what it would do also, though, it probably would take jobs away from the relief pitchers because you'd have a starting pitcher that's going a greater distance, too.
No, it wouldn't take that many jobs away from it. If it did, it would more hitters would get jobs. So the jobs wouldn't change in your – the roster size, you didn't change the roster size, so the roster size would be the same. Instead of, if it was more hitters instead of pitchers, I mean, the rosters would be the same.
Yeah, I'm only thinking there might be less relief pitchers.
I know you just want to speed up. Would the game be better?
Would it just be faster?
No. That's drastic. I'm saying, I'm just asking you, do you think the game would be better with your adjustment?
That I really don't know if it would or not. But it definitely would be less. Sometimes it does get a little boring, and I know people like to spend the afternoon at the ballpark.
I love it.
But it would cut it down probably a lot of the game time-wise, a lot less.
All right. I mean, it would could do that, but I don't think it would make the game better, although guys would have to get up there hacking if it's two strikes out. I mean, if you want balls in play. But then I think you end up with less power because guys would have to then choke up.
Yeah, and there's not, I mean, obviously there's not going to be any first pitch taking, right? Because you can't. You're already down to your final strike if you do.
But then you end up with a lot of first pitch balls because the guy can't take. So then you got guys swinging at balls out of the zone, out of fear.
Yeah, the pitch out of the hand, right? Yeah. And the thing is, too.
They're up there because you got two and you're out. I have heard that after a certain amount of fouls, you can foul out.
I don't know if I like that one because I feel like it's protection, right? You're fighting to stay alive in the at-bat.
Okay, but they're saying at a certain point, you got to put it in play. Like, I don't know how many what the threshold would be, but I've heard that.
Right.
That at a certain point, like, let's say you foul off five times. All right, on that sixth one, you got to put it in play.
Well, and you know, with the two strike thing, if it's not already, it would absolutely the most important pitch in the game at that point would be a slider. Everybody would be throwing sliders because
first pitch slider.
Yeah, because if you're swinging out of hand, right? Because you got to be aggressive.
You got no choice.
It looks like a fastball when it leaves the hand.
Right. So you're dead red. You're sitting on it, and then you're a mile in front of it.
Yep.
You're waving at pitches.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of bad at-bats if you get it down to two strikes.
Yeah, I don't think that would make the game better. It would speed it up if you just want it faster, but I don't think it would make it better. Angela in Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi. Hey, Ty. I wanted to just talk about modifications to the game.
Sure.
I know that you said you were becoming a soccer guy.
Yes.
So me and my husband were watching USA yesterday. Mm-hmm. And
USA versus Canada yesterday.
Yes. So I'm like, why don't they stop the game? We know that we're going to have floppers. We know that for whatever reason that the game is going to stop and then you're going to add 3-5 minutes. Why don't you just stop the clock?
You know, I don't have an answer for that. Because it is always something when you're in that 88th minute and you're wondering how much penalty time are they going to add? If you just stopped the clock and it ended at 90, you wouldn't have to guess.
You know exactly how much time you got left on the game. My point exactly. But that was pretty much it in terms of modifications. Oh, except the whole thing about the three-point line.
Yeah.
Some of those shots that you see Trae Young take, I mean, they should definitely, they definitely warrant an extra point. So maybe like a four-point line.
Now, that would be interesting. That would be interesting, a four-point line.
Is it a line or is it a spot? You know what I mean? Like, you know how in the, I think it's the.
I think, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like,
they Harlem Globetrotters do it.
Yeah. I think you would have to go all the way around. But it couldn't reach the corner because you'd have to be deep.
Right.
Like, but it would be like another semicircle. And anywhere, because from the corner, that would still be a very difficult shot. The issue is, though, then you have guys that start doing the math of, well, three's more than two, so you can't take this layup. And would you have a guy under the basket for a dunk turn and throw it all the way out for the four-point shot? Like Ben Simmons does now. Like, some of the times he does it like he shouldn't. But there's times where, like, it was designed that way to get someone an open look. Would you start having design plays to get the defense to collapse, kick out for the 4-point line?
Yeah, probably. I mean, especially for specific shooters, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, maybe even too. Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I feel like that might change it too much. I'm trying to think.
Now you got to, because if you have the 4-point game, though, you're now talking about the fact that the only thing that makes it a two-possession game is 5 points. That's a lot.
And that makes a 20-point lead. Five trips.
Much more surmountable.
Yeah. Well, it's already to the point where the 20-point lead is surmountable because of the three. Yeah, the 4-point line, you got to get up by 40 to feel comfortable. George in North Wales, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Ty. What's going on, man? Hey, so I would listen. I just ran into my car after getting out of work, and I wanted to talk to you about this whole I don't hate Yankees fans as much as I hate Mets fans.
No, not fans. I said the team.
Oh, well,
I don't hate the Yankees team as much as I hate the Mets. I hate everything about the Mets. I don't hate everything about the Yankees.
Oh, but my whole thing is, it isn't so much the winning, and it isn't so much, you know, that they'll go out and buy players. Mm-hmm. It is the fans. Because their fans are relentless, man. All they do, like, you see them everywhere. They're kind of like Cowboys fans in that way. And then they'll come out of the woodwork like it's nobody's business if they start winning.
They're fraudulent fans.
Yeah. But in that way. It drives me nuts. Because you see them, and I have family members, and if they're listening, I'm talking about you. Because they're Yankees fans when they want to be and when they're winning. And then when it's not, they can't name anybody on the roster. And that's what makes me just furious with Yankees. That's why I can't stand Yankees.
Now, is it the Yankees fans from there, or the Yankees fan that's like, I like the Yankees and the Lakers, like those type of fans?
Yes.
That are Yankees, fans, then they're Lakers fans, then they mix it, and then they jump around the sports, those kind of fans.
Yes, and second to that almost is I went to the Phillies Red Sox games a couple months back, and those Red Sox fans are getting just as bad as the Yankees fans. It's like a couple years ago you couldn't have them do that, but then as soon as they started winning, it was just terrible at that game.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, they're also for some reason they're still Cowboys fans. The Lakers, Yankees fan. They're rarely a hockey fan for whatever reason. But they're Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys.
Weird.
Like the trifecta of fraud.
So weird.
Now, the ones from New York, if you're from New York and you're a Yankees fan, there's no beef. We know which person we're talking about. We're talking about many of them from Philadelphia.
Yep.
The Cowboys-Yankees Venn diagram of out-of-town fan is very similar. Like, if you did it's one circle. If you leave the New York area, it's one circle of Cowboys fan that doesn't live in Dallas, Yankees fan that doesn't live in New York. It's one circle. It's the same person. There's nobody that's like, I rock with the Phillies, the Sixers, the Flyers, and the Yankees.
I actually have a friend.
Whoa.
Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, New York Giants.
Why?
I forget the reason as to why. I'll have to ask him, but that's the four.
I don't know how you can be friends with him. And here's another thing that I don't care for with some of these Giants fans that are local. They'll live in South Jersey. And they'll be like Pensauken, if you put in like Google Maps, Pensauken to the back in the day with the Vet, you're closer from Pensauken than parts of Philly.
You might be closer from you than like where I am in Bucks County.
Oh, yeah. Where I grew up, where I grew up is absolutely closer.
Yes.
Like, absolutely closer. Yet they'll be Giants fans and they'll say because they play in New Jersey. Even though it's from where I grew up, I could see Philly's fireworks from my backyard. Yet they would root for the Giants because they played New York because they played in the Meadowlands.
That's gross.
It was disgusting. All right. On the other side, sound off here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You got a beef with me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Let's keep going. Sound off.
Yes, time for sound off. 610-771-9705 to get in on it. Let's see what we have today.
When a relief pitcher comes in, why don't you just bring him right out of the bullpen and start him right into the game without any warm-ups when he's on the mound? Because what was he doing in the bullpen in the first place? Warming up. So why must he come back into the game and just start throwing more warm-up pitches? What's the sense of coming back on the mound and pitching more warm-up pitches?
Well, I get that to a point, but each mound is different each day. You got to get a good footing, and you're throwing to a different catcher. It's not like you're warming up to the same catcher, and the catcher-pitcher communication is important, and every mound is different each day. They got to go ahead, but I do admit sometimes they milk it. Now, you can cut down on the warm-up time, but you still need to be able to warm up.
Tyrone, you're absolutely right about the umpires. Nobody wanted to do that as a volunteer in, like, Little League. So who are these people that actually want to be umpires for a living? 100% correct. Couldn't agree with you more.
Right, and I'm not talking about helping out your kids. I'm talking about you want to, what's your career? I want to go tell Bryce Harper he's not as great as he thinks he is. Because that's basically what you're doing when you do the demonstrative strikeout. You're saying you stink. Like, why do you feel good about yourself doing that?
When there's a 3-2 count and the ball is thrown and it's close, the player thinks it's a ball and he goes to bat and starts running the first. Why don't the players just let the umpire call it? Stop trying to show him off. It's probably a ball.
Well, because the umpire sometimes are slow with their call. If they call strike right away, he wouldn't have time to take his stuff off and start running up the line. If he just calls it. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What is it?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
Yes, indeed. That was sound off. All right. Thanks, everybody that watched. Thanks to everybody that listened. Thanks to Dylan. Thanks to you, Tyler. Thanks to Joe back at NBC Sports Philadelphia. Up next on the radio side, you have my guy, Devon Givens. On the TV side, Phillies Clubhouse. Listen, we had a good show today, but it was not perfect. We will attempt to be perfect tomorrow. I'll see you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.